Squad, Witcher 3, No Man's Sky, Bully, No Man's Sky, Game of the Year, Game of the Year.
That would be great if Bully took home something this year. Finally getting credit it's due.
Finally a non-video game related one. There was I'm Gay LOL, followed by Kill Me.
Jesus.
Chad, there it goes.
You never fail.
Penis. Big, full, all caps penis a whole bunch of times in a row.
Hey, welcome to the Shotcast, everyone. Where this show is going to be devoted to just reading the video game awards chat.
We're live reading the video game awards chat. We should live tweet it. We should tweet their chat back up.
We should.
It's like a live reaction video.
Well, we should take a live reaction video of us tweeting while recording the podcast. I think we can make that happen.
Now I want to.
I think
myself.
This joke could go on for far too long.
Yeah,
I want to kill. I want to kill myself now.
We've really reached a dark cultural place.
Let's periscope it.
Could you imagine? You know what? And the worst part is, we're not the first ones to have that idea. It's already out.
No.
Yeah. Speaking of reaching dark places. Thanksgiving happened. So
nice.
Justin, how was your Thanksgiving, sir?
It was a good time. I got a set of blueprints framed for my grandma, and we gave that to her at Thanksgiving. It's like the original blueprints for the plots of land that her house was on in East Nashville from like 1956. And like her.
How do you obtain something like that?
She had it in a filing cabinet in her basement because she has everything that ever happened to her, like filed away in little file folders.
Nice.
Pretty weird. She has like all these slides, just like boxes and boxes of slides that I'm going to have to try and figure out how to digitize here soon. I got that made for her. And I got the frame made. My friend runs like a handyman business. But his dad is actually Ron Howes, the former weatherman at a local news station here, now retired. And he actually made the frame, which is just really crazy, random thing to have happen. To have this guy who, like, you know, was a weatherman forever when I was a kid growing up make it.
That's wild. Like, how does that happen?
I work with this.
That's a random number generator. I want to be a part of right there.
No. We didn't know that that's who his dad was forever, and then he came to visit him one day at work, and we all thought, like, this guy just was sort of there because that's who he was, but no.
Thought he was there to do the weather?
No, just there to, like, visit for some reason. Like, we had people, we would have to, like, people come around that were just people around town and stuff and visit just because we were, like, involved in all kinds of different things.
You were the hotspot for low-level celebrities?
Yeah, you got it. Anybody who wanted a free iPhone case had to endure like a 30-minute, you know, tour.
How often did you rub elbows with Clint Howard then?
Never. I don't know.
Oh, that's
a
shame.
You can't go an entire show without bringing up Clint Howard, can you, Bo?
I can't. I mean, have you seen Ice Cream Man? Movie's genius. Piping up
far,
in the corner there.
Far and away, Clint Howard's finest performance.
I would argue Apollo 13 is actually as good as you're going to get with Clint Howard.
It's not bad. Yeah. Is he in Splash?
I mean, sure.
Now you did it. You went off on a Clint Howard tangent.
He's in That Thing You Do at some point, right?
Yes.
He's got to be like in the background
for sure.
Some scene.
Yeah.
I can't.
Is he a DJ
he's in
or
Splash.
Something? Yeah.
I don't think he's in Splash.
He's got to be, man. I think he's been in every Ron Howard movie. He was even in Bachelor Party.
Yeah.
Or not Bachelor Party, Night Shift is what I'm thinking of.
This is really sad.
Look, God bless him, man. Clint Howard, like, talk about riding coattails. I mean,
hey.
In fairness, he was on Star Trek. But
that's true. As a young child, right?
Yeah, in Gentle Ben and all that stuff. But then he became a man that I'm sure is a lovely person, is... It, you know, has had a great career and all due respect for that, but he's an odd-looking individual.
Both he and Steve Buscemi can exist at the same time. There's enough work to go around.
He's even, there's like a, if you're looking at it like a Dante's Inferno level, like, I think that Clint Howard's a lot lower on the scale than Steve Buscemi. Steve Buscemi is just like a guy who aged very poorly.
Yeah, Clint and Howard's he's like, got...
That's genetic. Something yeah. happened.
And he's got kind of a weird grill. Like, Buscemi's got yeah. weird teeth and bug eyes.
Yeah.
But, yeah. but he looks but like he looks like yeah. he could be your barber.
Yeah, and yeah. Buscemi yeah. also was like a firefighter who like went and helped on 9/11. So yes. like, you know, hats off to that guy. Clint yeah. Howard was a baby on Star Trek.
Yeah. Free pass for the rest of your life now, man.
You know, as we so often do, getting caught on these Clint Howard tangents. John, how was your Thanksgiving, sir?
It was all right. It was quiet. I obtained a couch from Craigslist, a nice sectional, which means that the old couch that used to be in that spot is now in my basement in front of my computer right now. It's fantastic. I have a couch. I have an office chair. I can choose whichever one I want. It's good times.
All right.
That's basically what I accomplished on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean, that's still moving a couch. That ain't nothing.
Yeah,
it's just no, I kind of like I had my wife. We didn't even really pick it up. We just tilted it on its back and we pushed it towards the stairs. And then I just kind of had her push it over the edge and I just caught it and let it just kind of like slide down. I'm like, this is a fucking basement couch now. Like, I don't care if it rubs on the floor. I don't give a shit. So it was just like the easiest couch move you've ever had. So, yeah, just shove it downstairs. It'll be fine.
Relegated to the role of basement couch.
Yep. It's next like stop, trash.
Right, yeah. It is. It is the senior citizen's home
yes.
of furniture. Got one foot in the grave and one foot on a banana peel.
Oh, he's looking at me now. Yep.
That's right. He won't remember it. Like, that sofa's probably real forgetful.
Couches are so stupid. They don't remember yeah. anything. That's the best thing about couches.
Oh, stupid couches.
You can do the nastiest shit on them. They never tell anybody.
It's great.
Or tell everyone.
I'm picturing now, like, that Pixar version of a movie in which furniture is alive.
Oh, I was
much
totally
like
thinking
cars.
This too. Yeah.
Except it would be filthy.
Oh yeah, like Sausage Party.
Yeah, just yeah, ass right. crack everywhere, hot sweaty ass nonstop. Ugh.
All right.
Gross myself out. Yuck.
So a quick story about my own Thanksgiving. I found out the day before Thanksgiving that I'm going to be an uncle.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. So
Uncle Bo.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's not a shotgun scenario, so that's a positive.
Uncle is a kick-ass role. There's no pressure. It's like, yeah, just be cool.
Right. And I'm kind of yeah. looking forward to that. Yeah, that's going to be super fun. So looking forward to that.
I introduced my nephews to video games at a far younger age than their mother was comfortable with.
Yeah.
Because I was a cool uncle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, when that kid's going to get a heaping helping of, you know, John Carpenter early R-rated
oh, yeah.
schlock films.
Yeah, sure, I'll babysit him.
Yeah. How old yeah. is he? 3? 4? Has he seen The Exorcist?
Yeah.
yeah, I know. I got the day all planned out.
Poltergeist scares the shit out of children, and I know this for a fact because it scared the shit out of me when I was a child. So.
Scary movie.
Fucking clown. That fucking clown. And the goddamn tree, man. The tree freaked me out.
Yeah. That movie's great. So, but yeah.
Nice.
So,
That's good news.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. And fortunately, he doesn't have a dumbass name either. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be Alexander is going to be his name. Perfectly fine
good.
Name.
Solid name.
Solid name.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sure.
Just a regular name.
And they're talking about calling him, instead of Alex, calling him Xander, which I'm totally down with because of my fixation with Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So
is that a thing? If you're I guess that works.
Yeah. I mean, you're shortening one end or the other. So, the mother in question is not fond of this at all, but my brother and I are both real excited about it. So I'm sure that's going to go well.
Kid needs a family nickname.
So. Right. Right.
Yeah.
So, video games have also been played by us all, sometimes together. And I figured we would start off by talking a little Division, seeing as how we all played some Division. Mm-hmm. And that game is all right.
It's way better.
It is a lot better now.
Yes. It's fun is what it is. It's not
yeah.
It's not just fun for 30 levels and then entirely unfun all of a sudden. It's fun the whole time because you keep getting things that are always better. I think that's called the Diablo model.
Yeah, still a game that is more fun with friends.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know
absolutely.
If I would find myself playing it solo for quite as long as I play with when there's a group of us.
Yes. Although I played a part of Division, the new survival DLC, where playing by yourself is all right because it kind of
the game mode though.
It kind of adds to it, but you don't have to. So, friend of the show, Wade and I, unfortunately, there were all kinds of server problems. We were on the second night that it was out, which was a Saturday, right after Thanksgiving. And actually, I think it was the Friday after Thanksgiving, and we got into exactly one game.
Yeah, like their entire store was down. Yep. They like put all that stuff on sale, and then the entire weekend their yep. servers and store were crashed.
Yep, and they were fucking overwhelmed because I don't know if you guys saw it when we were playing together, but even just logging into a regular game, there was like a queue.
Yeah.
And it wasn't big, it wasn't long, but like they obviously have some sort of server spin-up system where once they start getting a certain number of players in the queue and the wait gets longer in a couple minutes, I've noticed if I reboot it and come back, the queue is much shorter. So it's like they fire up another server or something. So they were trying. I think that game got way more popular again than they thought it would.
It got back to the same numbers they had at launch.
Yes, that is a news story from later that you just ruined.
Sorry, you're putting too many segues in there.
But you're right. we'll just talk about that right now. Yeah, their original like launch numbers with the new loot patch, the 1.4 patch, and the survival DLC that they just released, they're back at their launch numbers. And when the fuck did that game come out? It was like 6 months ago. It was a while ago now.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah, I thought it was even longer than that.
But... Maybe eight. Yeah, it was either this summer or kind of like late spring or something, I think. But yeah, that's impressive. Like games don't really do that. Kind of come back from the dead. So. So the just regular four player, like I was going to bring up that I thought it was really fun to just kind of run around the city now, which that game totally lost after you got to level 30 previously. So with that new world tier system, you slowly unlock harder and harder enemies, which then give you better and better loot, which then make you unlock another world tier. And you can go from, with the new survival DLC, they put out a fifth world tier. And your entrance into that is based on your gear score. So if you have a gear score of like 229, that was a previous max, and now you find new pieces of equipment and they each have their own gear score, and when you have a full load of like the top gear score, then your gear score will be equal to that. I think it's like 256 or something now. So that is just like kind of they just kind of keep tacking on leveling up mechanics in this thing to make it so you can just get better stuff. I don't actually know if it stops. I haven't played long enough. I'm not at the new cap, so I don't know if when you get to the new cap, you stop getting new loot or not. So, but it's fun as hell getting there.
Yeah, I would say my only complaint with the experience that we had planned was I just think the balancing is off in a really skewed way.
Yeah, that sucks. That really sucks because that's something that we know exists because Borderlands did that great.
Borderlands and Diablo, I mean, it's a different style yep. game, but, you know, it does that really well also and yes. finds this nice kind of median between being too easy for one person. And it kind of errs on the side of it's just going to be way too easy for the overleveled person.
Yeah, it has to.
Right, as well
as... Because that's still fun, getting your ass whipped, you know, like you were getting just one-shotted for quite a while when we first started, so... Like if one of the sniper characters got you in the head or something, you just go down, and that's not fun over and over because you're just out leveled, you know.
Yeah, and I found that my frustration really came, and the one-shot kill, you know, is a little bit frustrating, but the thing that made it less fun was, you know, I could pop out of cover and just empty a clip into somebody, and it had no effect. And then, you know, like I'd see you or Wade shoot him, and it was like, oh, he goes down in one or two shots, and I can't, yeah. I can't and even come close to
there that. I mean, what were you when you started, like, level 10?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And like, Wade and I at that point were maxed. Our gear score was maxed.
Yeah.
And that was before they bumped it up for the survival release. So we were severely outgunning your level, but it's like it didn't even scale for you at all.
Right.
I wonder if it's because, well, no, because we played where we had two lower levels and then Wade and I, which were higher levels, and it still had the same problem. Less severe when it was the four of us?
By that point, I was playing that closer in level, you know, and so I was actually somewhat useful.
The bottom line is that shit doesn't work right.
Right. And,
Yeah.
It feels like it's something that, you know, it's really off-putting as a player if I'm playing with you guys or, you know, and Justin had the same experience of, you know, playing with you guys. And it's like I'm watching you guys play the game and I'm forced to kind of hang back and, you know, or I just end up going down and that just irritates you guys, you know.
Did it go any better once you had leveled up a little bit?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, of course.
Okay. But then it's almost like, are you losing out on game play time because now we're like, you know, fast leveling you because you're playing with these higher ranked enemies.
You definitely level up faster. I mean, it's like you're the guy who showed up like for like day one of the army and they just slap you with like the guys who are like, you know, Special Forces, Navy SEALs.
Yeah.
Like that's how it's like you're just like this dumb idiot running around. That's how it feels. And like if you poke your head out, you're just gonna die. And you're just like, I would just sit behind cover and like throw grenades and throw my like heal out and at least get some like XP that way, and then because like my guns weren't really doing anything.
Your job is to just cower in the corner and scream quiety to yourself, this is crazy.
Right, that's too much like real life in that scenario of me just hide behind something and praying to sweet Jesus that no one shoots me.
And that's not why you play video games.
I'm there for the power fantasy.
Exactly. So, yeah, it does have that problem still. The survival DLC is kind of cool, though. Wade and I, we got into, like, so you lobby up beforehand. You just go to that main base of operations, and it's downstairs, like, where you would go to the underground content is out the back of the thing. But you just turn to the right instead, and there's an elevator. And you walk up to it, and you start your party. You say, I want to do a survival round, and then it will... Theoretically, it did it one time, put you both in a game together. And the one time that we did, we were doing all right. We both died like right at the same time. We ran into a gang of other agents. We were playing in the PvP, I don't know what you call it. Hopper.
Dark Zone.
They have player versus player, and they have a player versus environment, and you can choose which one you want to go into. And in player versus environment, there is no... it's friendly fire is on or off, so you can't shoot each other. PvP, it's every man for himself, but you can still go in there with a group. So we actually got wiped by a group of four guys that were obviously playing together. And I think we were... So when you start it, there's 24 players in the round, and it'll say 23 agents remaining. And then as people are dying out in the room that you're in, it'll display 22 agents remaining, 21 agents remaining. And we got down to like 16 or something like that before we died. I played around by myself and I got down to 7 and I froze to death. I was running between bases and you can run up to, there's like those 55 gallon barrels are sitting all over the place and they're, you know, every once in a while one will be on fire. You can actually walk up to ones that aren't burning and you can light them on fire. And you have to do that because your body heat is constantly dropping like super fast because it's like 17 degrees below zero out or something like that. And there's a huge blizzard going on the whole time. And so your field of view is cut. Not field of view. What is it called? The distance.
Draw distance.
Yeah, that's very low because it's super foggy and there's tons of snow, so you can only maybe see 10 or 15 feet in front of you. But you're running, you can see, like, if you're at a barrel, you can see lights in, like, the fog up in front of you, and you're like, okay, that's got to be another building. I should run up there and see if there's another barrel. And then you'll find, they're not the safe houses. What do they call them?
This sounds like the day after tomorrow.
Yeah. There's, like, safe rooms scattered all over, like, way more of them than there are safe houses in the regular game. And you can run into those, and in each of those is a crafting table where you can craft clothing, warmer clothing for yourself. All the clothing has warmth modifiers on it. Like, if you wear this hat, it will increase your warmth level by 7. If you wear this coat, it'll increase your warmth level by 11. And then you can get a better hat, you can get a better coat. And eventually the weather outside won't affect you as much, and that becomes less of a concern. To win, you have to craft a... So you have to run around in the world. You start... All the agents... the premise is that there was a helicopter crash. You were all going into the dark zone to retrieve some antivirals or something like that. And your helicopter crashes, and the agents are scattered all over the city in multiple helicopter crashes because of this blizzard that blows in. And so then you have to get to the dark zone, but before you can enter, you have to craft a gas mask so you can go into the dark zone. And then once you're in the dark zone, you have to... there's three objectives. I can't remember. There's one that I can't remember, but one of them is you have to craft a flare gun. Oh, and then you have to signal the pickup. You have to get the antivirals, and you have to extract them, and that is how you win survival mode. That seems really fucking hard.
Hmm. All right. So, but it seems like a cool idea for...
Yeah, and I think the maximum time that a round can last... And this is an interesting mechanic. The maximum time a round can last is 2 hours, I believe. And that is because you are injured because of the helicopter crash, and you have gone septic. And Yeah. You spawn with painkillers. And there's a clock that says time to, I forget what it is, but it's basically you're going to become unconscious from, you're going to die because you're sick. And you have a 1 hour clock. And if you don't start taking drugs to stave off the effects, that clock will just continue to count down. And when you take some painkillers or something, it adds some time to that clock. But apparently the maximum amount of time you can get to is 2 hours. And that is because the more medication you take, the less effective it is. So each time you take something, you get less time added to your clock. So that's kind of cool. I've played only 2 games of it so far, so I really can't, you know, give like any kind of review. What I played was intriguing and extremely harsh, but it's one of those, like, when we first started playing DayZ, it was like frightening because you're just like, well, what the hell should I do? And I don't want to get fucking killed because that's a pain in the ass. So there's still that to it, but it's a little more like of an arcadey feel, I think. There's like the consequences seem less because it's like, oh, I'll just fire up another one of these. There's not... Like, DayZ had way more of a gear investment and time, as far as I was concerned. You had to play DayZ for a long time to get good gear. And in this one, it's an intentionally, you know, this is 2 hours maximum. Like, you're not going to play this longer than that. So it has a little more of an arcade feel to it because of that.
Yeah, it does seem cool. And it's at least unusual.
I like that it's multiplayer as well. I think that's neat. So, yeah, we should. If you guys see that on sale or something and you're interested, you should pick that up because Wade and I are going to give it another try this weekend and see if the servers are sorted out, because the one game that we played was super fun and we were, like, super high from fighting those 4 guys, and then we couldn't get back into a game for the rest of the night. It was a total bummer.
What is the going price on this?
$15, I think.
Okay. All right.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it can't be 20. I don't know.
It's a cool twist on, like, the Battle Royale type.
Yeah, and that's totally what it is.
Concept.
Yeah. So, and I mean, you have, just like in the game, you have, you know, food, candy bars and shit that you can eat, and they have effects. You can craft better weapons. You can find, and that's the harshest part of the whole thing, is you spawn with all green gear, which is the lowest tier of gear, and a pistol, and that's it. I think you have painkillers on you, but... So you start off at an extreme disadvantage, and then the enemies that you encounter in the world are like get exponentially harder the moment you step into the dark zone. So it's a tough challenge. I haven't really looked at any boards or any people discussing it, talking about like, is this too hard or anything like that. I kind of don't want to ruin it, but for myself, by listening to a bunch of people whine about it. Yeah, it seems interesting.
Cool. Justin, what else you been playing, sir?
I picked up the old Titanfall 2.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. It's very reminiscent of those old Call of Duty games, just the way the single player sort of unfolds. You're looking at probably like a 6 to 8 hour single player campaign, but I will say that there is not a single moment that is dull in the entire thing.
I've heard that's a good campaign.
It's a very good campaign, and there's a lot of like wall running and parkour type stuff in that. Kind of reminds me of, you know, Brink. We've talked about that game a couple times.
Yeah.
But they do it a lot better. Like the controls are just smooth as butter, which is awesome. As the campaign goes on and on, there's just more and more emphasis on sort of that parkour, and the set pieces just get wilder and wilder, around that. It's definitely worth checking out. I'm sure it's going to go on sale soon since it's Christmas time.
Have you fiddled with the multiplayer at all?
I have. It's matchmaking based, and it takes a while to get into a game. I've heard that
you're playing it on PC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard. Is that a function of just the audience, owners on PC being a lower number, or is it like have they fractured the? Because no, they're giving out free maps for that, so they're not like making people. They're not splitting the player base by having weird map restrictions or anything like that. So.
I think it's just the amount of people playing it, really. It may be how the matchmaking works, because I think it's, you're sort of like in a network of people.
Yeah.
So, and then it's going to try and find people who are around you, and then it's going to try and find people who are trying to play the same game mode as you.
Yeah.
And I just think that it would probably benefit from just a dedicated server model where I can go, oh, hey, the server's just always here.
Yep.
I know my ping is like going to be this to that server.
Yeah.
Done. I've never been a fan of games that just work on matchmaking.
Is that like somebody is designated as a host?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's weird. I thought that kind of just died out. I can't think of any games recently that have worked like that.
I don't know.
That's kind of an old school.
That's an old Unreal.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't dislike it. It sounds like it doesn't really work for that game. Are there just like tons of modes? Are there too many options that you can pick where it's just like the chance of finding 10 other people or whatever that want to play that mode is? There must be a real small PC audience for it.
The game as a whole has not sold up to expectations, which is
strange because I hear nothing but good things about it.
Yeah, it seems to. Well, you know,
it's great. It's a great game. It certainly could be better. You know, there's the story could be longer. The multiplayer could be easier to get into.
Yeah.
And it really is. You know, at its face, it is that sort of Modern Warfare 3 or Modern Warfare 4. Type of
just a shooter,
which there is definitely a place for right now. You know, I think the ones that are out currently, the like Infinite Warfare or whatever, I haven't played it. I'm not gonna play it.
Yeah. But you also have Battlefield 1.
Yeah,
yeah,
which is a totally different animal in my opinion. It plays
so
differently. Just even like the player movement, like it seems really spastic to me in like the Call of Duty games. Like it's. The only way I can describe it is I feel like your player character that you're controlling, like his torso is always straight up and down, and like his legs kind of twist like an old school G.I. Joe, you know, where it was on like a rubber band. So like his torso is always kind of straight and the legs just kind of twist and run in directions, but he's always kind of standing straight up. There's like a weird...
I could see that, yeah.
And in Battlefield, I feel like your character kind of leans... when he's running, and like if you start running and kind of push to the left, they almost kind of crouch down a little bit. Like, I just feel like it's more natural. I don't know. It's hard to describe. Like, I like how the running and control of the player character feels in DayZ. I feel like you can get that character into a lot of realistic positions where you can independently turn your head and shit like that. I think that's super cool. So
yeah, that's definitely, I think Arma lends itself to that.
Yeah, and Call of Duty just is not like that at all.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's just you're a floating head.
Yeah.
You know, this game is you're a floating head. There's parkour.
Okay.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
It is really fun.
I feel like I need to try one of these because I have not played just like a modern shooter, quote, in a while.
It's free weekend.
Yeah. Free weekend. So, yeah, exactly. So, there you go.
You know, we'll hop in. We'll do some multiplayer. Yeah. You know, it's a game that could lend itself to co-op and maybe even some kind of PvE, like me versus a hordes of enemy type
thing. Get some bots, yeah.
Yeah, just where I can just go play it for a long time. I think that's standard in kind of those FPS games around that same time is where those kind of things started coming in. I think if they could add maybe some of that stuff in a DLC or, you know, something like that, that they could extend the shelf life on that guy.
Yeah, I just don't feel like there's been any innovation in that genre in a while. Like, it's just kind of the shooter genre. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, everything kind of goes in waves because there's a lot of games that are more realistic now, something like a squad. So a lot of games that are aiming towards being more, having more realism in them, I guess.
Yeah.
And then there's something like a Doom comes out that is just, you know, unadulterated mayhem for 8 to 10 hours or however long it took to beat that game.
That game's so hardcore.
I was looking over our end of year list, the doc of like, here are the games that were.
Oh, that's like right up there, like number one or two.
Yeah, when I came across Doom, I was like, oh man, that I think that's a universal. Yeah. I think everyone's going to acknowledge how awesome Doom is.
Yeah,
that's
some good shit, man. Stupid fun, like it, but like so much of it at times that I had to stop playing.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's like, I mean, it would be like taking a car trip with Sam Kinison. Like, you're gonna have to take frequent breaks because at a certain point you're like, Sam, I love you, but I got it. I want to go have an egg salad and just not talk.
You stay here and watch the cocaine. I'm going to go inside.
Right. And by watch, I mean consume.
All of it.
You know, the one thing I would say about Titanfall 2 that we kind of discussed a little bit. So Titanfall, the original, the Elder, T1, they call it. You know, that game came out and it was cool, but it felt thin. And then they released Titanfall 2 in the middle of Battlefield, Call of Duty, I'm trying to think if there's another shooter in that mix. Maybe not.
There's a Destiny expansion.
So you're releasing kind of an unproven IP in the middle of just chaos in terms of shooters.
Yeah, it's a weird move.
Weird move. I wish they had held on. I almost wish they'd held on to Titanfall 2 till like, you know, February or something. Get out of the way of those games and then come out with something that, from all accounts, is a mechanically better shooter than the others. Yeah. So yeah, it's a shame because, as we've said, everyone that's played that game seems to have something good to say about it, even if it's not entirely, you know. Yeah. Positive. It's certainly mostly positive. Mostly. Anything else from you there, sir?
I snagged the old Accounting VR, which is the first game from Squanchtendo. Justin Roiland studio, and it is hilarious. It's free. It's on the Vive. It is just sort of a descent into madness. You're essentially playing through these different scenes. And in each scene, there's some sort of representation of a VR helmet that you're trying to figure out how to make it work. And you just sort of get deeper and deeper into levels of virtual reality. But, you know, lots of the characters are voiced by Justin Roiland, so it is hilarious. One of the best ones is you sort of awaken in this sort of dingy dungeon area, and there's this sort
of... Is there Squanch everywhere?
There is not Squanch everywhere. There's no Rick and Morty characters in this one.
Damn it.
But there's sort of this gluttonous character in front of you that very just has the trace marks of where you should very obviously slice him open. But he's sitting there talking to you like, oh, hey, you're a really nice guy. Like I bet your friends say that you're just like really just a great person. And you're kind of looking around the room in VR and you notice there's a knife. And as soon as you pick the knife up, he's like, oh, hey, you found my knife. Oh, yeah. I've been looking for that, you know, and like just, you know, it just keeps going on and on until you're just plunging the dagger into him while he's staring right at you, still like, you know, screaming in agony. Just nice. Hilarious. And you have to reach in there and like grab the like a battery that goes in the little headset thing that, you know, takes you to the next level.
That's cool.
Yeah,
just
you know,
a series of scenes like that, or
pretty much. There's an overarching story, and you have these guys who are sort of outside of the VR world who keep trying to. I really forget the overall premise. But they're just sort of guiding you through these different areas via phone call. So there's a, you know, there's more, a little more to it. It's definitely cool to see the potential of what the kind of stuff that's probably going to come out of that studio. So, you know, I look forward.
Does it take advantage of like the room scale aspect of it?
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely. Okay. Yeah. You're walking around the little environments, you're looking, you know, in little nooks and crannies and in different areas and interacting with stuff. So it's definitely,
this game kind of like came out of nowhere. Does it seem like super polished and like that's something they were working on for a while? Or,
well, it's the people who do. I'm pretty sure it's in partnership with the people who did. What's the one where you're the,
like Job Simulator or something?
Yeah, Job Simulator. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, okay.
I feel like they're kind of building on an engine that they've probably already established. So, assets wise, it was probably very easy to do. You just drop that stuff in there. So it definitely, you know, it seems like they took their time with it. It doesn't seem like it was something they rushed out, but they did the right thing by, hey, here's this thing. It's free. It's probably a good 30 minutes, 45 minutes.
Okay.
It's probably one of those things that every time someone comes over now and tries out VR, once they get a little accustomed to it, I'm just going to like slap them in that. So that I can
let
go
them,
like,
let them
know,
murder some fools.
Yeah, just let them do the thing, and I can go in the other room and, you know, pour myself a drink or something.
Masturbate.
While drinking.
While peeking through the crack in the door that you left open so you can watch them in VR.
Yeah.
And we've all done it.
Oh.
It's true.
And I don't even own a VR helmet.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
Past that, I fired up the old DayZ. Yesterday, because they have the new experimental patch out, the 0.61.
Oh, that I had seen something about that, but I didn't realize it was actually out.
Yes, so you can play it on experimental. The servers are crammed, packed full of people. There's a new lighting system, dynamic lighting in there, so the lighting is a lot better. It's very cool. Lots of really cool shadows now, since everything's sort of real-time. There's all kinds of different tweaks. They redid all the military areas and added a bunch of like, there's always been sort of like kind of little roadblocks and stuff along the way. They're kind of like polishing that stuff up and adding actual like military tents and spawns for weapons and stuff to those areas. So I think they added something like, it was like 11 new like military locations where you can find stuff, which is cool.
Nice.
And there's wolves in there now, in the forest. So
are there zombies in it?
There are zombies in it. I saw a zombie.
Like what? Like a zombie? Like,
I didn't see too many.
Are they a threat yet? I guess is my question. Because that game is only fun to me when the zombies are a threat.
I went toe-to-toe with a zombie in a punching match and came out on top, which I kind of don't know.
You should. That's on a one-on-one, you should.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. I mean, they definitely, like, I was sneaking, trying to sneak around, and one just saw me and came running at me. You know, I mean, it wasn't...
You gotta deal with that shit.
Yeah, you gotta deal with that shit.
If I may, John, I want to ask you a little bit more about the zombie math. So, at what point... So, a one-to-one fist fight, you and a zombie, you should win.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends on what zombie universe you're talking about. You got, like, shamblers, or are you going for the fucking full-on sprinters from 28 Days Later? Because those zombies are fucking terrifying.
I think we're talking DayZ zombies in this scenario.
I mean, and
which
they run
kind
at you.
Kind of in the middle.
Yeah, and they SWAT. They've got, like, a good SWAT, but it seems, like, dodgeable in real-world physics to me, that you could dodge a single DayZ zombie. Like, they come at you like gangbusters, but it's like fucking alligators, you know? You're supposed to, like, you know, zigzag. Serpentine.
Right.
Serpentine. Throw them off the trail. Yeah. So,
because, like, Walking Dead zombies, it's like 30. Like,
oh, yeah.
One against 30.
Just fucking line them up in a row. More. Just bottleneck those fuckers and stab them in the face one at a time.
Like, yeah. They're
why is this a threat? Why are all the zombies not dead yet in the Walking Dead world? I don't understand. It's frustrating.
So, for DayZ zombies, is 2 the limit? Is 2 where you're like, oh,
I always
I'm
thought that it got.
Die.
I always thought it got kind of hairy with, like, about 3.
Okay.
But you could still, like, that was when you'd start, like, fuck it, I gotta get out of here. You start, you know, cutting corners around buildings, start breaking line of sight, looking for tree lines, you know, all those, the old tricks. You know, I mean, you used to, like, way back when, they used to slow down when they would hit a building, so it was like, fuck, all right, I gotta find a building with a fucking open door on it so I can, you know, and they've took that out, but it still works to do, you know, like, real world, you know, tactics to try to just get them off your tail. Because I think, well, like, once you, when you get a group of 3, they can move up on you fast enough in DayZ where shooting all 3 of them without getting hit by at least one of them starts to become a problem, I feel, with 3 zombies. 2 is manageable.
So, just to carry this to its illogical conclusion, 3 DayZ zombies will take you down, much like 30 Romero zombies will.
Yes.
So, 1 DayZ zombie equals 10 Romero zombies.
Approximately, yeah.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure we were all clear.
It's nice that we kept the math, like, really simple. Just, you know, multiples of 10. I like that.
I like numbers.
Yeah. Math is... I mean, we're practically scientists now.
I mean, we're talking about zombies. Why make it difficult?
Right.
Why?
Let's keep
Why?
It grounded in facts is all I ask when we...
Verifiable scientific facts.
Yeah, when speaking of corpses reanimated for whatever reason, and it could be anything, it's important to make sure that you have the details right.
Yeah, if you're not going to get it right, you're just flapping your gums for no reason. So
yeah. Speaking of flapping our gums for no reason, Justin, anything else?
That is it.
All right, then we good turn. Yeah. That's good stuff. We turn our video game ISR. What?
Before the ISR on hits me. Justin, I saw that you played with the Google Earth a little bit. Is that true?
I saw that too.
Yeah.
That seems cool.
It is creepy as it gets. Like, I took a walk around my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Your current neighborhood?
My current neighborhood.
Okay.
I, like, stood in my neighbor's backyard.
Is any of your stuff there? Like, is your car parked in front of your house or anything?
No, and quite honestly, the there's an option, essentially, you can only get down so far, but you can go into the settings and you can turn on allow room scale or allow human scale, and it will take you down to the road, and you're, you know, you're really there. You definitely feel like you're there, but the resolution at that scale is
it's
horrendous.
Like super polygonal and all like blurry textures
but
still recognizable, right?
You come back out and you go more like a Sim City kind of scale, and you're in the 3D you know, kind of Google Maps that you can do thing. Whew. It is awesome, like just flipping the earth around, going to different cities, just looking at all kinds of different crazy stuff. It's really cool.
Have you tried like going to a volcano or something?
That's fine.
No volcanoes.
I mean, something dangerous, somewhere that you would never ever go on your own, or like
Mount Everest, man.
Everest or the jungles of the Congo or something like that. Like, I don't know how detailed that mapping is, but like that to me, that would be the thing to do is let me go to the place. Like, I want to go to Pakistan and walk around in one of
them. Oh, I went to Syria and there's nothing. It's just not modeled.
Yeah. Nice. Okay.
Another thing.
Anticipating the nuclear war to come, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Let's clear this out so it's easier.
I don't know if it's
right. Why are we spending all this time modeling this when it's
just gonna be flat next week?
Yeah. I did go to Washington D.C. and like none of it is 3D modeled.
Dude, you should have stopped by. what's interesting, I've noticed on Google Earth before, a lot of the tops of the buildings in like D.C. proper, like along the National Mall, are all blurred out when you zoom in past a certain point. Yeah, that's interesting. It's like Area 51 or something.
Another fact, because that's what we traffic in on this show. Ghosts, it turns out, are actually just people using Google Earth VR.
That would be so amazing.
You see them a little bit, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's just people from another dimension. That's all ghosts are. Let's go there.
When they make Google Maps VR multiplayer, you got something.
I think that would be very cool, too. Yeah.
It's going to be like the third thing I show people from now on for sure.
Where do you want to go? Yeah, that's cool.
Man. Yeah, it just shows off the application of VR.
Did you go look at your childhood home or anything like that, or like the Taco Bell by your school or something?
I live down the street from my childhood home, so it's not like
so small.
Volcano.
I want to see a Chilean death squad. Where is that?
I went to Disney World.
That's cool.
That would be cool. Yeah, I could get behind that.
Did you like walk on the roller coasters and shit?
No, but I did go to like downtown Nashville and like sit on top of the Batman building.
That's pretty cool.
And just kind of look at the view and did the same thing in like New York City. So part of that's pretty cool, like trying to find a really interesting perspective.
Then they got to work in base jumping. Like they got to get the guys that are working on steep and work that in there.
Well, I think like if you can refine the resolution, you give that like a couple more years, 2-3 more passes, and get the geometry a little bit better. I mean, you can do all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, you have an entire model of cities in the world. I mean, just throw in a mechanic where here's a car that you can get in and drive, and here's just like, oh, well, you can just drive wherever you want to drive now. That's just a thing.
It's crazy.
Roads where we're going, we don't need roads.
That shit is
the ultimate video game. It's just the world.
Yeah. Roy.
it's Roy. I can't wait for those touch controllers to come in so I can get into some of that.
Are those shipping out yet, or it's close?
6th is the release date. I might not get mine. I might not get mine till January.
It's happening.
Yeah, but it depends. Hopefully, right now they've confirmed a certain amount of the supply, and I didn't get in time. For the first wave of touch controllers, but we'll see. You know, I can't wait. To get my hands on the touch, which is a barely listened to Ray Parker Jr. song.
I was wondering where you were going to go. I was wondering.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Thanks. but what have you been?
I might have gone Roxette if you push me to make a decision.
Really?
Yeah.
See, tells you where my heart is. I'm an R&B guy.
Roxette.
Quit screwing up my transitions now. Tell me about your video games. God damn.
Sorry. Division. Played the new expansion for, I don't know what it is, patch, I guess. It's a patch. It's not an expansion. For No Man's Sky for a few hours. that's another news story I'm going to step on. But they surprise released the foundation update, version 1.1 of No Man's Sky, where they introduced base building. They have multiple aliens and space stations, so you can hire them to work at stations in your base that you build that make you more things that you can build a bigger station with. Basically, they just kind of added a bunch of things to do to No Man's Sky. Base building's cool. It works really well. It's basically just you're picking items from a menu. And if you're playing... So the first thing that happens now that's different is when you open the game, you're presented with a choice of do you want to play normal mode, which was vanilla No Man's Sky, what everybody's used to. You can play creative mode where there is no cost to building materials. And in normal mode, you actually have to craft things. You have to go out and find elements to build modules to put on your base. And then there is a survival mode, which is, I haven't tried it, which is apparently super hard, though. Like, it's completely unforgiving. You are spawned on a planet 10 kilometers, I think that's right, from your ship. And it is, like, a toxic environment, and there are hostile enemies all around, and you have to just run across. The first thing you have to do is run across the planet to get to your ship, and there's no way to just do it in, like, one run. You have to, like, take shelter in caves, and you're going to have to... constantly be picking up plutonium and carbon to recharge your shields and your weapon and shit like that. I don't know if that sounds fun or not. I'll have to give it a try, but mostly what I did was I just went back to my regular save in the normal mode and started building a base. And that's cool because you just like you go to a planet and it will identify that there is a uninhabited structure, and you get there and it's just like a circular module sitting on the ground with like a door and a window on it, basically. And you open that thing up, and when you go inside, it says, do you want to claim this as your home base? So you do that, and then you can start adding things to it, and it's all based on a cost of materials that you have. So to build another round module and to put a hallway between them costs about 110 iron, which you can go out into the environment with your mining laser, and you can pick up all that iron to get those materials. All the things kind of appear in front of you in like a wireframe mode, and their scale and size is proper to what they will look like if you hit the build button, and then they kind of snap to each other. They're these little pre-built sections of, you know, like a one block long hallway or an L-shaped hallway or a four-way entrance hallway. Little round modules. You can, once you build a module, it's got like blank solid walls on it, but then you could say, I want to put a window here, and then it will just like punch a hole through there and put glass in it. You can build a little science station where you can then go up to the space station and hire a guy, and he will do research into more modules for your base. And there's all kinds of crazy shit. Like, there's moving parts when you walk up to them. There's doors that lift up and down. I saw a video today of some guy who had built a drawbridge by taking advantage of the way that you can place modules together, and instead of laying like basically they're garage doors that lift up, think of just like a not one that like accordion kind of goes up, but just like a solid garage door that lifts up all in one piece. He placed a bunch of those horizontally so that when the doors open or when the doors close, they kind of overlap. And then he laid them out in a series so that he could walk from the roof of his module out to the landing pad where his ship was. And as he's walking out, these doors like fold up underneath his feet because your proximity triggers them. So people have already started to like figure out cool ways to use the modules in, you know, non-intended fashion. So
right. They don't make single pane garage doors anymore.
I had one in Nashville. My house in Nashville had one of those.
Yeah, my house had one, and then it broke, and we're trying to get it fixed, and no one fixes them because they don't make them anymore.
I think they got outlawed or something
for hurting people. I would
chopping
imagine
heads off or something. Here, put this guillotine in this place where you walk through. Yeah. Well, you can get some in No Man's Sky. You know, there's no regulations in No Man's Sky. You're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that's international waters for all intents and purposes.
But it's cool. They did some other tweaks to the game. There's a huge, long list. I might as well just look at it now. So we don't want to split up No Man's Sky talk over two sections.
A lot of quality of life stuff.
You know? Yeah, they switch
stack
around.
Items.
Yep.
Yep.
The interface, you can pop up. They didn't have this previously by hitting like up on the D-pad. You can bring up a like a, almost like a hot bar at the bottom where it will be common elements that you need to recharge your weapons and your shield. So instead of having to hit start and go, you know, hit a button to go into the menu system, go to the shield module in your inventory, click a button, click another button to recharge it, and then back out of the menu back into the game. You can just do that by hitting a couple of buttons in the game, which is super way better. So, you can build farms and put different plants and shit on them so that you can just like go into your hydroponic lab and harvest a bunch of carbon every so often or whatever else these things grow. In some of the pictures here, they've got some, I've come across some of these plants where they've got like, they're called like Gravitino balls or something like that. And they're worth like $50,000 a piece. But as soon as you pull one, the sentinels on the planet are always hostile to you. So you can like just grow these in your hydroponic lab now. So basically you have a money making machine in your garden,
in your grow lab.
Cool. Yeah. There's automated harvesters that you can build at any time. Like it has like an iron and whatever cost, like there's elements to it, but if you're playing survival mode, you can still do all, like this crafting exists across all three modes of the game. You can craft and you can build a base and you can craft items, regardless of whether you're playing normal, creative, or survival mode.
The auto harvesters look cool. You actually get to like, you throw them out onto the actual pieces of things that you're trying to harvest and they kind of like run around on it.
They look like a thumper from Dune, if anybody's seen that, where they just kind of pound up and down. Like, they latch onto the surface, and then you just see, like, this piston going up and down. And I just farted around with them just to see what they look like, and they're super cool looking. But I haven't played long enough to, like, go back and check on them and see what the hell's going on with the things. But you can, like...
The Shahamud got them.
Yeah. While you're out running around in the world, you can throw down... You can craft a save spot. So, like, that's especially useful for, like, that survival mode, I would imagine, where it's like, all right, things are actually decent right now. I'm going to save it. If I die, I can respawn here and play some more. That's cool. I also really like that you can build storage containers at your base. So, I mean, you had a limited inventory before, so you would never carry more than a couple of stacks of, you know, plutonium so that you could recharge your weapons or things like that. And now... You just pick up as much of it as you want, go back to your home base and dump it in these containers and you'll always have a supply. You won't have to like go hunt for the shit. So you just kind of naturally build up a stockpile. One of the best additions is you can teleport back to your base from any space station that you visit. And
that's clutch, I think.
Yes. And when you teleport back, it's just like a load screen. Basically, it does like the little warp tunnel. And when you get back to your base, your ship is there because it just auto-flies itself to where you are going.
Huh.
So there is absolutely no... It's fast travel is basically what they did.
Yeah.
Just put a fast travel in the game. And so then the distinct advantage is then after you have teleported from a space station back to your home base, you can then teleport back to that space station at any time. So I guess you eventually will have a whole bunch of space stations that you can teleport to from your home base whenever you want. Because you've established a link.
Yeah, I like the idea that encourages you to explore further and further and further.
It pushes you out. It's like there's no penalty for leaving your system.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that was the thing in the, I guess, part of when I was playing No Man's Sky before, is everything just felt so frivolous. You would just warp to another system.
It's
and
like,
who
God,
cares
this is really
about...
cool. I don't want to leave here, but I'm doing this Path of the Atlas thing, so I can't stay here. There's no reason to, even though this planet is a fucking gold mine, you know?
Yeah, and I will probably never be able to find my way back here again, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I like that. It certainly encourages you to create a home and figure out what's around in the neighborhood rather than just, you know... Just skirt off into whatever direction.
Yep, they're giving you a way to engage with the game that it doesn't necessarily make it easier, but it just kind of, it like tones down some of the mechanics. Like, it rewards you for playing is what it does. It's like, yeah, you know what? It's not a bummer that you can't pick up all this plutonium anymore, because you can, and then just teleport back to your fucking base and dump it and then come back here, because it's not difficult to do anymore. So if you find a rich planet like that, go to the space station, teleport back to your base, teleport back there, fly back down. It shortens the, you know, it's like, oh, this fucking planet's great, and all it costs me is I have to fly into space and go to the space station and, like, or you just teleport once you get there, I guess. Yeah. Like, you don't even have to fly after you've established the link. You teleport to the space station, you teleport back out to the other, yeah, whatever. The only disadvantage to the whole system is you can only have one active home base at a time. So you will find other abandoned structures. This is actually, the way they handle this is really cool. When you walk into another abandoned structure, it will say, do you want to make this your home base? And that will break the link to your previous home base, which is a bummer. But they at least do the thing where when you do that, it breaks down all of the materials that you have used to build your previous base, and it loads them into a module on the wall, and it is just, I forget what it's called, but it's basically just like a dispenser for all of the elements that you had previously used for your base. So you can just rebuild all that shit without having wasted any of those resources. I thought that was a pretty clever way to do that. Like, if you're going to, all right, I'm going to lose my all that work, I at least get all the shit back that I had to find to build it.
I'd rather watch some animation of all that stuff, like, flying in from orbit and just landing.
To reassemble itself?
yeah, just showing up. Maybe not immediately either. Maybe it's like, you know, it's going to happen in, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, or, yeah, give you some sort of, what's the Tron particle transporter ray where you're beaming it across space and time, but it takes a long time for the data to travel, so it slowly kind of builds itself out of wireframes or something. That'd be
kinda and you're kind of stuck during that time where it's like, okay, well, can I build a save point during that, or do you have to just wait until that, you know?
Well, and it seems like suggestions like that are actually being listened to now. That's one of the things, like, I wouldn't say the whole attitude has turned around on this game, but there are a lot of seemingly satisfied people that have just said, yeah, you know what, this does it for me. Like, I feel like this is actually most of the things I was promised now, and I did like this game initially, and I'm one of these people. Like, I played about 34, 35 hours of this in the first round, and then I just kind of stopped because I was kind of one of the holdouts. I'm like, I had to believe that they were working on something to add to this game. And I'm glad I was right, because it gives me the feeling that now that they've started communicating, people have laid off a little bit. They've already had some more tweets. They're like, yeah, we're working on more things. We're not going to talk right now, but yes, we are working on it. So there's still minimal communication from them, which I think, after all the shit they went through, I don't think they should engage with the community other than to say, we are confirming that we are adding more things. We will tell you more in the future. I think that's all they need to do, because that relationship is so fucked. Anything more than that, and you're risking starting it all over again. So
I think the fear that I had that, you know, this game had come out and that's what we were going to get, that they were in some way, shape, or form locked into most of the systems that were in the game and how the game fundamentally works.
Yeah.
And I think that this update shows that they do have the flexibility to make drastic changes to how the game works.
Well, I think what this really shows is there's no way that they created all of these systems and did all of this work in 3 months. All of this shit was stuff that they had planned for this game that they did not get into the release. They did not have time.
Yeah.
And we've said on this show, they should have delayed this game for a year because it would have been fucking great. So eventually I feel like we are going to get what I was anticipating. And this addition, it's strong, man. Like, there's a lot of cool shit in here, and it's Like the way the base building works, where it's really easy to place something and it's really easy to add a door to it, and it just kind of all snaps together and it works exactly the way you want it to. They didn't make that in 3 months. They've been working on that for 4 years to get that to work. They just finished it in the last 3 months. So it's impressive stuff, and leads me to believe that there's, you know, if and they're alluding to that's like they've started the hype train a little bit. They've said they've called this literally the foundation, and it is for foundations for things to come, was their quote. So they're leading people to believe big things are on the horizon for this game. And I, you know, because I'm fairly impressed with how well what they've added works, I'm inclined to believe that they are working on some cool shit. So,
well, I think you have polished this turd better than anyone I've ever heard.
It ain't perfect. Space combat sucks. It's terrible. Yeah. So bad.
But that does make me at least interested in going back and I
so
think
they were checking out. And there are lots of other little tweaks, like Justin was alluding to. There's what would you call them? Quality of life improvements. But there's also like tons of, we fucked around with the algorithm for the way that Planet Train generates. And it's, you know, I can't, it's all just anecdotal, but I feel like there are more complicated, like I took a screenshot of this really cool looking canyon that also had through one of the canyon walls, there was like a tunnel, like a person sized tunnel kind of punched through it that was all craggy and full of rocks. And I don't recall ever seeing, you know, land forms that were quite that complicated in this game before. Like it was kind of, here's a mountain, here's another mountain. You could almost kind of see just like the rise and fall pattern to it on some planets. And I feel like that has been definitely adjusted. Like it's a noticeable difference. And I feel like the diversity of plants and animals and shit. Like I saw a screenshot, some dude had taken on a planet where there was like, I don't know, probably 75 animals all standing around him at once. I never saw anything like that previously. So
yeah,
they have made some background changes and improvements to this game that, you know, I mean, if you want to believe what they're saying, that this is just the start of what they're working on, then it should be pretty impressive. So,
all right.
We will see.
We shall see. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like I enjoyed this game previously and I will continue to enjoy it now that there's this other stuff to do. Like they've given me things to do. So I'm going to go back to it. And I just like how fucking pretty this game is. Like it, but the one thing that they absolutely delivered on was their comparison of this game to like 70s sci-fi novel covers. It's fucking gorgeous. It just gives you the best screenshots. It is such a cool looking game. So hopefully they can add a whole they got to add a bunch of cool shit to do in it, and it'll be great. I just love looking at it.
Love looking at it and touching it.
Turn, rub my face all over.
any other games that you have an unhealthy attraction to, John?
Yeah, I went way in the other direction and I played some EVE Online.
Sure.
Nice.
Yeah. I played a touch of that myself. I actually didn't put that on my list, but I probably played, I don't know, five, six hours.
Yeah, I'm probably at about 10 or 12 or so, and most of that has just been kind of relearning how to play. Like, I've probably spent, like, just 6 or 7 hours sitting in a space station playing EVE, like, trying to relearn how the market works and trying to assess. So I did not re-up. I'm playing the free-to-play version of it, and there's been some disappointments with my main character that I had because there are things that I dumped a lot of training time into when I used to pay to play this game that are unavailable to me in the free-to-play version. The biggest of which is all of my planetary structures and manufacturing stuff that I had built up. You cannot access that in the free-to-play version. So that was where I basically made all my money. So I need to either teach myself how to mine again or start running missions again. Like I need to find another way to get money in the game. And there is the fallback. A lot of the time I spend in the space station is looking at spreadsheets and margin trading the market, which is really boring. But every time your wallet has more money in it, there's just like just enough of a little chemical kick in the brain that makes that fun. I have like 225 million ISK right now. which is not a fortune. It's nothing to laugh at, though. Like, a lot of the ships that I like to fly cost about 11 million ISK. So I could probably, you know, build up a pretty good fleet if I wanted to. That game's still cool. It's super complicated. So what I need to do, I've decided I'm going to create a brand new character, put this one on hold.
Yep.
And I'm gonna redo the tutorial because I was doing some research about this. And apparently, so it used to just be like this text window-based tutorial where it would pop up and it would say, okay, go do this thing. Now you see this button, go click on that. And you had to read all this shit. Apparently, yeah, they've completely revamped that, and it's a 100% voiced tutorial. People said it's actually, you know, kind of fun. It's like well done. So I'm going to start a new character just to see that. And then after you do that, I know from previously playing, you can go to these career agents and they kind of hand out some basically like story missions to you, that you can go do, and that will kind of continue your training. And like, here's how to,
that's what I did. I created the new character and all that. Yeah.
They give you a lot of weapons. They give you a lot of ships when you're doing that kind of shit. So, that is a really good way to start the game. Just do the tutorial, follow up with career agents. The coolest thing that I found was this website is called, thealphasguide.com, and the name of the website is The Alpha's Guide to the Galaxy, and it is a website that somebody created to just basically teach you how to start a alpha clone, which is the free-to-play version of the game. And if you go there, they just say, do the tutorial, then go to career agents, then join the Sisters of Eve, and once you have completed all that stuff, you will know how to play the game. Then they said, here is how you find a corporation to join. You will enjoy this game. You will team up. Here are a list of corporations that are looking for newbies because they enjoy teaching people how to play this game and showing you all the shit that you can do in it. And that is kind of the point of the corporation. And it just, this website, thealphasguide.com, just lays all that shit out super simple. So if you want to learn how to play Eve, go to that website. It is super easy. Like, the layout of it is really nice. And basically it will just teach you how to play Eve online super fast. So, it's fun. It's still a cool game. I think it's just going to be that thing I turn on every once in a while and fart around for a couple hours. I don't think I'm ever going to get sucked back into it the way I did. And mostly it's because like a lot of the work that I previously put in is not available to me. I don't know. It's hard to say.
I found myself, playing it and then watching like an old MST episode or something.
Yeah.
And it was
totally that game.
A wonderful time.
Yeah. I watched Watchmen for like the 12th time while I was playing it. So it's great. Mm. I watched the Watchmen. That's who watches the Watchmen.
That's a weird decision.
Yeah. You really like blue penis.
Like a lot of blue cock, man.
Always said that about you.
Movie's weird. Like, there's parts of it that
I always knew it about him.
There's parts of the movie Watchmen that I just kind of don't like. But every time, what's the guy's name? Haley? What's the actor's name? Plays Rorschach.
Oh, Jackie Earl Haley.
Jackie Earl Haley. That guy's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, no, he definitely spot on in that one.
Yep. So that, like,
I'm not locked in here with you.
Yeah.
You're locked in.
It's like,
that's by far the best part of Watchmen.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I feel
it's worth sitting down and watching it.
Like, I need a supercut of just Rorschach scenes from that movie, 'cause it's great. So anyway, watch Watchmen, play some Eve online, go to, thealphasguide.com. That is the Shotcast Eve online tip for the week.
The official Shotcast Eve Online Alpha Tutorial website of the week.
That's right. The Alphas Guide.
Perfect. .com.
Use offer code Shotcast.
Right. And they'll let you learn stuff. Otherwise, go,
the website will crash and we'll go, huh?
Right. Don't. Yeah. Maybe on second thought, maybe we shouldn't recommend that anybody type anything into a website, with our name on it. It will end up getting like some kind of crypto ransomware thing that way.
And I don't need that kind of headache.
Oh my goodness. Really don't need that financial burden. So did you have anything else, Sean? I'm sorry.
That is it.
Okay. I have been playing those games all of those games that you guys played and more. I
played. You're Iron Manning that shit. That's great.
Yeah, I am. I'm just everything. I'm playing all games all the time.
Nice.
I played some Division, played some Eve, all that stuff. Had a great time. I'd heard a lot of really good things about Final Fantasy 15, and I picked that up, and I have played about an hour and a half of it. But I just got it yesterday, in fairness. No reflection on the game itself, which seems really weird. But unlike something like, I don't know, Tokyo Mirage Session, say.
You have experience with that game, Dave?
I have some.
I've heard of it before.
Some, yeah. Actually, fairly recently. And this is going to sound absurd, but that game somehow feels more grounded than Final Fantasy 15.
That's a bold statement.
Well, but
I'm not shocked.
At the very least, in Tokyo Mirage Sessions, like you're in Shibuya, you're talking about music. It's stuff that's happening on this planet up until you get into all the Performa stuff and Tiki, who is an Oodaloid. But
yeah, Oodaloids.
Yeah. But I stand before you and bear witness to the fact that that is more grounded than when I threw in Final Fantasy 15, which, again, I enjoyed. But it was like, welcome to the Kingdom of Eos, and you are Prince Noctis, and you're on your way across the desert in your car with your buddies to marry a princess, and you're going to run into some stuff, so your plasma swords are going to come out, and you're going to kill the enemies. And it was cool, but I also wasn't feeling great. And at a certain point, it was like, man, this is just too much. You know, it's the Kinnison in the car thing again. I was like, I'm not in the mental state to play this game right now.
I'm in the mood for this.
Cannot
shit.
Willingly suspend your disbelief.
Right.
This game.
I need to sit down for like 3 or 4 hours and just get into it and all that stuff.
That's a back of the box quote. Final Fantasy 15. I had to sit down.
Really? I was. Oof.
This game made me want to sit down.
I really had to pump the brakes. And so I did, but I honestly, like I said, I physically was not feeling great. So I turned off the game. I decided I was going to lie down, and this is super early in the evening, but I wasn't feeling great. And I ended up watching some television, and it featured a little game called Planet Coaster. And I thought, I wonder how much that game costs. And it turns out not as much as I thought it did. So I bought it. And Final Fantasy 15, this is the last thing I'm going to say about it, totally fine. Looking forward to getting into more. Also, screw that game. We got important stuff to talk about. Planet Coaster is amazing. I have been playing, I played a bit last night in between, you know, like not feeling great. I'm going to get up and play a little bit. And then I ended up playing way more than I thought I was going to. And I played before I went to work this morning. As soon as I came home, I was playing it before the show. It is incredible. In fairness, I'm a fan of the Roller Coaster Tycoon style games. And the thought of, I've heard rumbles about this game for some time, you know, when it was in, Kickstarter? It was a Kickstarter game, I think.
And isn't there a rival that is like an obvious cash grab and is apparently a total piece of crap?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Coaster was
all up here.
Yeah, Planet Coaster was always the one that you heard about and saw some screenshots of, from that looked unbelievable. You know, and I mean that in the literal way where it's like, I don't know that this game is really going to be this. And the game is complicated. It is also one of the best like tool sets I've ever seen in a game in terms of breadth of tools at your disposal. And also as complicated as the game is, it still manages, once you get the mechanics down of how to move and arrange the pieces of your park, it's actually incredibly powerful, and it's fairly intuitive. Not completely. It takes some... There is some heavy lifting on the front end to get yourself acclimated. And I have certainly not played enough to be any kind of expert on the game. There is a level of depth to it that is really enjoyable. It's just I've been playing through the scenarios. And, you know, much like the Tycoon games, you know, when you first fire up the game, it's like, okay, well, you're going to create your character, and your character, I guess, is the guy creating all the parks. And then it gives you scenarios that are pretty familiar if you've ever played a game like this before, where when you first take over a park, there are already going to be some shops and rides and stuff like that. But you'll have objectives like you need to hire some staff, and you need to build a ride, and you need to get the attendance level of the park up to a certain point. A certain amount of revenue incoming every month, and you get like 1, 2, or 3 stars depending on the number of objectives that you complete. And as you're completing those, that's unlocking other scenarios that you can play that introduce more complicated mechanics. So it really feels like the scenarios are a giant tutorial for the sandbox mode, which I have not really played yet. Because I've been playing through all the scenarios, because I want to have those ins and outs down a little bit better. But all that being said, even when you're playing the scenarios, the game doesn't restrict you to just doing the thing that is your objective. So you can build whatever the hell you want. There's a research component to it where you can invest money into research, which will open up different rides and different decorations and building types and all that stuff. You can drill down, you can get as granular in terms of park management as highlighting the, what is his name? Chief Beef, Beef Chief, something like that is the mascot. And you can click on one of the Beef Chief shacks and change the price of what you're selling there, but you can also say like, oh, the Big Chief the Big Beef Chief burger is going to have ketchup, mustard, lettuce, cheese, and pickles. And then the regular burger just has ketchup and mustard, or they can both have the same thing or whatever. And like, is that necessary? No, but for a retard like myself, that's awesome. So, I like playing around with that, and you can, you know, adjust all your ticket prices and gauge guest reactions. Like, you can see what percentage of people are thinking, you know, like, this ride is a good value, which means you can kind of crank up the ticket price on it, or the park is filthy because there are no trash cans anywhere, so you got to put trash cans, you know, sporadically through the park. And hire janitors. And let me tell you something about these janitors, son of a bitch. So, as far, another mechanic of the game, I'm so excited about it.
Can you bust unions in this game?
No, but but what happens is when you hire your staff, no matter what their job is, after they work at that job a while, their happiness goes down because they're not going anywhere in life.
Because they're fucking janitors.
Right.
Right. They're just right. Picking up so you trash
can,
all day.
So you can then invest in training for them, which makes them happier, but you also have to bump their salary because now that they're trained, they're going to expect to be paid more. And right. And so you have to start to balance like, okay, when is it just not worth it to keep paying this guy if I can hire two other, you know, high school students? I mean, it doesn't get down to the point of like, you're looking over job applications or nothing, but you also do get to the point where you're like, oh, I'm paying this guy way too much, so I'm going to get rid of him and hire two schlubs and to do the same job. And
just revolving door.
Right. Oh, man. Look, Bowland is not a place to make a career, okay? It's the best first job you'll ever have, though. So, yeah.
Can you put in pay bathrooms?
Yes. The bathrooms you can adjust the cost of. I keep mine free because
$500.
There's it's nothing but a string of soda shops and then one bathroom.
That costs $42,000.
Right. You get all the drinks you want for free. It's free to come in. The bathroom is $500.
You want some coffee? Coffee's free. You want coffee?
Right. Water? Cotton How about candy? Some more water?
Some churros? You want some churros?
Here's a 2 liter of squirt.
Chips and salsa, hot dogs. Yeah.
So I've only started building my own coaster, but that's been great. The variety of rides that you can create, the tool set, like I said, is just so like, that's a deep bench. And some of the parks, some of the scenarios, like one of them is pirate themed. So when you're decorating the park, you have options like, oh, here's a broken, you know, some broken barrels, and here's a pirate band, and all the lighting looks like old time lanterns and stuff like that. And you can see in the scenarios where the designers have built, you know, a really kind of stunning centerpiece in the middle of the park. And you can click on the various parts and see that, oh, this was all made using these tools. It's just that they did a bunch of it.
Wow, that's cool.
It's damn, that game is good.
So can you modify? Obviously, you can, you know, make your roller coaster, the tracks bend all over the place, all crazy, and you can change the colors. But like when it comes to like the Ferris wheel or like the flying trapeze, like the swinging chairs, you know, like those kind of rides, can you modify that shit as well?
Yeah, you can change the color. There's also something called the sequence, where you can. Like most rides have two or three things that they do.
Yeah.
And so you have to shut down the ride to do this, but you can close the ride temporarily and change the sequence. So like I've got one thing that's essentially spinning cups. Yeah. And in the sequence is like, okay, they're going to spin, then they're going to spin fast, and then they're going to spin. And then that's the sequence of the ride. Okay. But you can change and extend that to make the ride longer or shorter.
This ride spins fast for 23 minutes.
Right. So, and you can change all that stuff. So nice. You can make
That's
a,
cool.
Yeah. And you can rename all the rides, of course, and you can adjust specific components of them if you want. Like I could take an existing, if I were jumping into a scenario and there's a roller coaster there, I can just remove part of that track and add my own stuff. And
but does changing the different attributes for, say, like the sequence in the teacups, do you think that has a direct impact on how the guest perceives it and how that system works?
I'm so glad you asked, Justin. Yes.
It's all interconnected.
It is all interconnected because, like, every ride also has three attributes, and it's – I want to say it's – excitement, nausea, and gentleness, I think, are the three. And so that you have gentle rides like, you know, the Mary.
Sounds like my first time.
Right.
I want some gentle nausea, please.
I only had the nausea, unfortunately. Yeah, so you can affect, like, changing the sequence will affect those stats, which then in turn will affect what guests want to get on that ride in the first place and also what their reaction is. So like you could, in theory, I haven't done this yet where I just like cranked up the carousel to be super fast or something. So yes. I may not be able to do that. But I know that there are rides that I can definitely control, you know, like what is it called? The Rocktopus, but it's the old carnival ride. Of the eight arms with the cars, and it just kind of rolls in a circle.
Oh, and then the cars spin.
Yeah, and
that was called the Monster at my local park in Minnesota.
At Bowland, it's the Rocktopus.
Nice. Welcome to the Monster. Thank you for riding the Monster. Yeah.
So, but I can change that to just as soon as it starts, it's just going to be super fast and it's going to go on too long and everyone's going to throw up when they get off of it. So, yeah, I love the detail of it. Like, it's one of those games that you have to be the kind of person that's going to sit down for an extended period of time and just jank with stuff and see what breaks and what doesn't. And like, it can be kind of twitchy in terms of design, of laying out the paths and stuff like that. But it's really because the twitchiness is just a symptom of the flexibility of the tool. And that's not to say it isn't frustrating sometimes, but because even a slight movement of your mouse may change the angle of the path that you're building. Sometimes you'll end up making a turn where you don't mean to, but to root that up, all you do is right click and get rid of it. So it's like, even if you make a mistake, it ain't something that's going to haunt you for long.
So there's a lot.
Do you think do you think you could recreate the once beloved Opryland theme park inside of this game?
Yes, I think so. And that is sort of the thing that I want to do.
And this game sounds fun.
Yeah, it's. I'm telling you, I like changing the terrain is super easy, and the decorations that the park provides, or that the tool set provides for the parks. Like, one of the parks is kind of a pirate themed park, so within 5 minutes, I was able to take a ride, plant it, you know, where it needed to go, draw the paths, lower the terrain all around it, fill that with water, and then put an animatronic Kraken in it in 5 to 10 minutes.
This is awesome.
And it was rad. So, and of course, like all these games, in addition to all the design stuff, like if you build a coaster, then you can do a first-person camera view so that you're riding the ride. You can also do a third-person camera view where you get behind the rider. So if it's like a flume ride or something like that, that's outdoors, it's kind of a cooler perspective to be behind it. And, yeah, and I like, if they patched in VR to allow for that ride experience to be all virtual reality. Or the other thing I've heard some rumor of is that now that Oculus has Touch and, you know, Vive obviously has their controller set, that you're going to be able to build coasters in VR with this tool set. Man. And if that happens, then I'm done. Yeah. I'm done. They'll find me a skeletal lump somewhere with a VR strapped to my head and the most kick-ass theme park inside that VR headset that you ever saw.
That's pretty cool.
So I don't know how accurate that rumor is or how far out something like that would be.
But it seems feasible. Like, why wouldn't that work?
It totally does, because the tool set is all mouse-based. And, you know, there's definitely some stuff like if you're building a roller coaster track, you know, it's okay, I've got to click on this thing and kind of drag it up to bring the track up at an angle, and I can also tilt it side to side and all that stuff. And
like, if there's like a god mode, like looking down and like manipulating tracks and shit with your fucking hands, that's brilliant.
That's in theory what I believe I saw a screenshot of is of somebody doing that very thing of saying, I'm gonna take this track and I'm just gonna drag it.
And then you can, like, shove your face down and look at all the little people running around. And
yeah. Like, if the game did that, it would be the greatest game ever made. As it stands right now, it may be just my favorite game of the past few years. So, it's really good. I love everything about it. I could see very easily how someone could completely bounce off this thing. Because unless you're like, this is a sweet spot for me because I love theme parks. I love builder games. Like I said, I love the Roller Coaster Tycoon stuff. And even though it felt a little lightweight, this definitely feels like the game that you kind of wish that had been, if you're a person like myself that wanted to get way deep into not just the park operations, because that's fairly routine. There's a lot of it, but when you get into the construction of the rides and stuff, there's just so much you can do. It's really cool. I love it.
Do you know anything about the plans for the future of this game? I know it came out pretty recently.
Yeah, it's doing real well. The developers have certainly been saying, you know, hey, we're going to continue to develop this. And they opened it up as a Steam Workshop game. So there you go.
It's Frontier.
Right.
It's Elite Dangerous.
Yeah.
So
it's
hopefully they'll keep, you know, maybe take that same approach like Elite Dangerous has, where they just sort of keep releasing it and use it as a platform.
Yeah, I could easily see that. And with the inclusion of the Steam Workshop stuff, I mean, what people have already come up with, I did a quick browse of it and it was like, oh my goodness, man, this there's so much stuff that you can just import that's crazy cool. Somebody built, I think, the Disney castle. You know, like, I think somebody's already recreated the Disney World with some degree of fidelity. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at those videos because I kind of enjoyed the process of learning how all that stuff worked rather than watch a video about it. But yeah, I've talked about it way too much already, but it's just because I told John before we jumped on, I was like, hey, if I weren't talking to you two jerks tonight, this is what I would be doing. I would be playing Planet Coaster all night with some TV show going on in the background that I'm half paying attention to. And what I'm really concerned about is how I get my fountains to work in sequence. And I'll tell you another crazy thing, and then I'll shut up about this. I'm sorry for going on about it. But another thing that's really cool is when you're building like more attraction style rides as opposed to just roller coasters, because you can do, you know, all kinds of track rides, which are like, you know, for Opryland folks, the Thin Lizzy or Tin Lizzy.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of stuff. You can do, you know, water rides and coasters and all that. But if you're doing sort of the track rides, you can create what are called trigger points, where as a cart or, you know, one of the cars is going through the ride, once they reach a certain point, it can trigger like an animatronic or something. And you can design all that yourself. So you can basically create your own, like, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean or something like that, where you have animatronics.
Chaos.
Yeah. It's so good.
So there's a lot of screenshots on the Steam store where they're like right up in the faces of the patrons, the park patrons, and like their facial expressions look really cool. And like, is that actually in the game? Like, can you zoom down to that level and see that kind of shit happening?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You can get, you know, as high or low as you kind of want. But, yeah, you can drill down to, you know, kind of
like street level and just watch people walk by. And mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's
crazy.
I'm telling you, man, this game, it's a certain personality type. I understand that. This is not a game for people who are like, you know, Doom is the only kind of game I play.
You should make a 360 no scope ride.
In Trump's America, which is the name of the theme park I'm going to build.
Nice.
Then I'm sure we'll have one of those. There's going to be the jump in the wall ride. Not sure exactly how to make that work yet, but it's going to be something. And
I found a Subway in the workshop, like a Subway sandwich shop.
Nice.
That's pretty good. I'm curious to see what people ultimately come up with. I've seen some stuff of people doing like tunnel rides and stuff like that are really cool. And even underground roller coasters. I think I saw, somebody that set one of those up. And
wow.
Yeah.
How does that even work? How do you like sculpt the ground?
Is it there's one as part of your toolbar. One of the options is terrain. Then
just deform.
And it's do you want to go up or down? with that terrain, and you can, and it's a circle, but you can tighten and widen that circle. So you can get really specific with it. But if you just want to like, oh, I want to create an incline here, then, you know, you click on the terrain button and click your spot and raise it however much you want. And it does it automatically. And like,
it's crazy.
It is a thing of pure beauty. You know, it is not flawless. There are definitely times I've run into, just things I felt like I should do. Like you'll try to plant a ride, like a bigger coaster or something. And it'll keep telling you like, oh, this is your, the placement is obstructed and you can't really figure out why. And then you realize like, oh, I've got like one stilt on this coaster that's hanging over this very thinly drawn terrain line that shows me where I can build. And I mean, I'm just reaching for complaints. That's really,
can you then just go adjust that terrain so that that error goes away, or?
Well, no, because there is a boundary, at least within the scenarios, where you can't build over this property line, essentially.
Yeah, and they just have to do that for memory concerns.
I'm sure it's something, but then, you know, it's that's really the biggest, that and a little bit of the twitchiness with some of the design stuff, but it's just because you're just doing so much. Planet Coaster is the real deal.
So the competitor is Roller Coaster Tycoon World, which currently has a user score of 2.5 on Metacritic.
What's the Planet Coaster user score?
9.2.
It seems low. It seems real low to me.
That's a nine, and that's actually the pair. I looked it up. The parody for that is on Steam as well. It has that's very close. It's a 94% approval rating on Steam. Whereas, what is it? I don't have it. I had the Steam for Roller Coaster Tycoon World has a 31% positive rating on Steam. So there's the only thing I'd ever read about Roller Coaster Tycoon World was everybody complaining, oh, they're just putting this out now to try to get some cash off of Planet Coaster. So not a lot of nice things being said about Roller Coaster Tycoon World currently.
So, yeah.
We know which one to buy, apparently.
Yeah. Planet Coaster is front to back. It's not terribly hand-holdy or anything like that, but it the music is great. That's something I haven't talked about, but the music is so kind of light and friendly, and the art style is cartoony but not gross about it, you know, like it's not, you don't see like deformed looking characters or anything like that. It just is phenomenal. If you have any interest at all in those old Roller Coaster Tycoon games, then it's not a question. You have to get Planet Coaster.
Decent tutorial.
That's kind of what the scenarios are, and there are times that it's a little oblique in terms of, like, I ran into one thing where I just didn't realize, I finished the 3 stars of the challenge I was on, or actually it was nine stars for that scenario. I was rolling up there with 9 stars, Sean. I mean, it was heady times.
Damn.
Right. And I'd finished all that stuff, and it was like, hey, you've completed this scenario. And I was like, well, then, so what do I do? Because it wasn't prompting me for, like, do you want to go to the next scenario? Mm-hmm. And all I had to do was back out to the main menu and then select a different scenario. But it wasn't real clear that, like, oh, you finished this thing. So because of the open-ended nature of the game, it was like, okay, you've finished the scenario. But if you just want to keep building up this park, then, you know, fucking go after it. Who cares?
Could you save it at that point if you wanted?
I've got 3 different parks saved right now. Nice. So yeah, and I can go back into them anytime and continue building them up and all that stuff. It's I don't know. What do you want? What do you want out of a roller coaster game, John?
Sounds like this has got what I want. I never played a lot of Roller Coaster Tycoon. Like, I fucked around with it a little bit. I've never, but I like City Builders and stuff like City Skylines and SimCity. I got really into that shit.
Man, you want to drop a costumed pirate into your pirate theme park and in the middle of an area, train him, give him a raise, and tell him which shops that he's going to walk around. This is your game because you can do all that.
It's like you're reading my mind.
Yeah, you can, this is my dream.
Yeah, you can tell the janitors, you know, like the pathing from Roller Coaster Tycoon, only it's more like, oh, no, I just want you to hang around these food shops.
Can you designate, like, assign individual people to do individual things? Like, you just fucking work at this lemonade stand, that is all you do?
Oh, yeah, like when you build one of those, then it just comes with that guy. You know, so like you're not hiring your shopkeeper. It's just sort of like, hey, when I build this, I'm going to be hiring one. So you just get whichever one you get. But it's still the same thing because as soon as you hire him, he's going to start bitching about how he's not training and he's not making enough money and this is a terrible place to work. And maybe it's okay. He guesses millennial little shit. And,
and can you just fire him at some point?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay, you can lose him. Sure.
Perfect. Perfect.
Can you, as soon as you hire him, set his wage to whatever you want it to be?
Yes.
Or just a progressive?
Okay. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Like, okay, cool. You can promote some or train someone, which is kind of the equivalent of promoting them, and not give them a raise, and then they just wander around bitching about the fact that they're not getting paid what they're worth.
I'm just going to pay all my janitors as much money. Like, they're going to be the highest paid people in the park.
Oh, man, you got to keep the mechanics happy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's actually...
Yeah, janitors and mechanics are clutch. And then you drop in... I'll show you all about it. At some point, we need to just do, like, a video of this, but...
Yeah, for sure.
I'd be down for that.
It is something else, and I will now officially shut up about Planet Coaster, which is the greatest theme park simulation game that has ever been. So there. And let's take our break here, and then we will come back with news in just a moment. So we will be right back.
All right. I'm in a new punk rock band called the Ethnic Earthquakes.
Nice.
Excellent.
Did you buy that domain yet?
No.
Should.
And we are back.
Domains are cheap. You should get a couple of them while
you're there.
It's true. I put myself in the running for fuck.u, by the way.
Nice.
So I'm going to sell those. If I were to get that particular TLD, then yeah.
Do either of you currently own any unused domain names?
No. My friend owns Handjobs Nashville.
I mean, is he doing anything with it? That's a money maker right there.
He owns a business, a handyman business called Handy Jobs Nashville.
Fantastic.
And so he just went ahead and bought Handjobs Nashville.
Camp out on that to avoid confusion.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
nice. A good idea. He bought some other really, he buys just like really crazy stuff that's like just relevant for maybe a couple weeks. There's something political that he bought that was just super random. But yeah, no, he has fun with it.
They're not expensive. Like if you just have it, like I currently own, but it is going to expire in actually just a couple of days. A former show title from one of the episodes of the Shotcast. I still own, Dr. Thunder and the Snow Monkeys.
Oh, don't let that expire.
Yeah, you can't. Someone's waiting for that one.
I know. Someone's camping on it. I own
SDF Gaming.
I own SDFGaming.com, SeanFredaGaming.com.
Sure, sure.
I own JohnDolan.com.
Yeah. Well, same. Yeah, I've got my name.
Yeah.
.com as well.
And then I have one other one that is active. TheEverythingChannel.com. I don't know why I bought it. It sounded like
Something
somebody might want. Yeah. I was surprised it was available, so I'm like, yeah, $10. All right.
You spelled it wrong.
TheEverythingChannel.com.
Let's see. Just a quick Planet Coaster VR update.
Mm.
Yes, please.
So from the forums, from the official Planet Coaster forums, this is not from a developer. In fact, they specifically say, I'm not a developer, I'm a volunteer, I have no inside knowledge, but the other Elite Dangerous uses VR, obviously, and that Planet Coaster runs on the same engine. And that the rumor is that the devs are waiting for a new SDK.
A new Oculus SDK?
Yeah.
Probably?
Yep.
Come on, guys.
Come on, guys.
Love the HTC Vive a little bit. Go ahead and get that going.
Yeah. Yeah. But at any rate, hopefully, fingers crossed, I would love to be able to ride the crazy-ass rides I create in VR in that game.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. And now enough about that, because, as always, we played the back nine of this show with a club that I call News. And John is the man to wield that club.
Bo and I pick up a drink and just let John cruise on down. Yep. And then we stop him when he gets a little racist.
You guys want to hear my... What's the record?
I mean, there's the thing we cut out about Belgians. I mean, that was probably the most aggressive.
You're trying to troll me right now. I'm not going to fall for it.
aside from your overt racism, John, what other news do you have for us?
It's not news.
Yeah, well, to some people, I think it might be.
I don't know. Maybe.
I'm saying listeners, like new listeners in particular, who are like, oh, these sound like three jovial enough people. And then, boom.
People that would be surprised by the fact that I'm racist, as a group, are stupid.
All right. Intolerant, too. Racist and intolerant.
And inferior in most ways.
Right. Probably should be placed in some sort of ghetto.
Yes. Yes. All together.
You're
offended by me?
This is not where...
Right, we are officially getting into dangerous territory. And I'm telling you, I'm the guy who took us there. I understand that. But I'm also going to be the guy to say, no mas.
I told you not to push me.
You're right. You are absolutely right. So...
it's always fun. We talked a lot about No Man's Sky, but there was some other news that came out. There was people had filed lawsuits for false advertising, basically based on the Steam page. We've talked about this numerous times, so I won't go into it for No Man's Sky. But it was this is a UK agency. The Advertising Standards Authority was inquiring into whether or not there should be any sort of legal ramifications to this, and they have said no. They have cleared No Man's Sky of any wrongdoing that they had been charged with, and they did like I think that story broke the day after their update came out. So I'm wondering if they had been in communication with them and said, no, we're working on this game, we're gonna make good or something like that. So who knows, like the timing of it was almost too perfect. So that happened. A lot of people, there's still a lot of salty people out there about this game, you know, and they have every right to be.
Sure and I think the approach of Hello Games of not being vocal with the community, in addition to just their treatment, you know, the community's treatment of the developers, but yeah. I think also, like, Hello Games has taken a step forward into making good on the promise of No Man's Sky. And I think it does them no good to engage the community any further other than, yes, we're going to work on some more stuff. Yep. We'll get back to you when it's ready.
Yeah. There's no reason to do anything else. Like, they just keep working on the game. That's all you need to do.
Yep.
I am excited for next week because a game I have been waiting for a very long time to play is coming out, The Last Guardian. And I had just sent you guys a story about Shuya Yoshida doing an unboxing, and kind of the palpable excitement on his face while he was doing that on stage was rather infectious, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard not to love Yoshida.
Yeah, and I'm not certain that game's going to be good, but I'm going to play it because I loved the two previous games and what I've seen of it. Like, there was some kind of preview stuff a while ago that I was not super excited about, but some of the shit that they're showing in this trailer just looks fan-fucking-tastic. So, I can't wait to play that. I think it comes out on the 6th. Is that Tuesday?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in. I you know.
Fuck yeah. Those first two games were so fucking awesome. Like,
right. He's a brilliant developer, and even if it's an off game for a brilliant developer, yeah. I don't know that there are many games better at tugging at my heartstrings the way that Yoshida's games do. And it's so surreal, and you know, there's so little dialogue, if any at all, and it's like watching like a Miyazaki movie or something.
Yeah, they're entirely unique from anything else you're gonna find out there. So
yeah, God bless that guy. So
that's basically the news on that one, is that shit is out next week. So finally,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
eight years in development.
Great, I want to play.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, that's crazy. We talked about this briefly. The division numbers jump back up. I think somewhere in the story I have some specific, maybe not. No, just back up to the division numbers went back up to post-release numbers of players in the game. I wish Origin and Uplay had like a stats system like Steam does, because I'd be interested to see like the player count for games that are only available on those services, specifically The Division, because I bet it's pretty goddamn high. What was I going to say? Another thing that I didn't mention previously about that was Wade and I played a lot of Dark Zone, and that shit works right when you are leveled for it properly. I found it previously unplayable because of grinding for loot was so goddamn hard that you could never, it would take fucking forever to get properly equipped to go into the Dark Zone. And now put in, you know, level out to the maximum level you can and just play around in the world for a little while and you can go in there and actually be competitive. It was pretty fun. So we got a lot of loot out of there. Ubisoft is not sending out early review copies for Steep.
I mean, they did have an open beta, though.
And it seems like they were going to be, like, from the way they're talking, they're still, like, there's a lot to be revealed about that game. I was not super impressed with it. Like, I on the last show, I feel like maybe I kind of gave it a little bit more of a glowing review than I intended to. I did allude to the fact that I thought the sense of speed in that game was not there for me. It was pretty slow. And the more I think about it, kind of the more disappointing that part of it feels to me. Everybody, of course, because they're not releasing early review copies, everybody, of course, is saying, well, it's because the game sucks. And, like, I had some fun with it. I bet there's a lot more to it that is, you know, fun. Getting in there with a whole bunch of people is fun, and that is kind of exactly Ubisoft's take on not releasing early copies, is they're saying, I think their quote was, we learned from the beta that this is a game that people enjoy playing in a multiplayer setting. So we don't want reviewers getting an impression of this game that does not include that environment, because that is what this game is supposed to be. So I kind of understand that, but of course there's still people who are just like, it's because their game sucks, but whatever.
Well, yeah, but those reviewers have to play those games in such rapid succession that they're just going to play it single player anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean,
like,
you're going to piss off the people who are kind of advertising for you for free.
Yeah.
And for a game that has no pedigree other than Ubisoft, which I don't know buys you that much. You know, I mean, I love Assassin's Creed Syndicate inappropriately, but
new IP is something that you need a little bit more weight behind.
Right, like when Bethesda said, like, hey, we're not going to do reviewer copies, that makes a lot of sense, because no matter what Bethesda puts out, people are going to buy it day one because they want to be part of the new Bethesda game.
Yeah.
And I I mean, the same thing doesn't hold true of Ubisoft. I don't believe. I would be stunned if...
Because Ubisoft has... They have so many more... so many different types of IPs, whereas, you know, Bethesda's like, well, Fallout. You know, we're putting out Fallout games, basically.
Right. Here's the next Elder Scrolls. Here's Fallout. Yeah.
You know, whereas it's like, here's a Rainbow Six Siege. Here's a Steep. Here's, the you know, all these other games that are varied, but varied within a pretty small spectrum, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. And, yeah, and having played mostly single player, I thought the game was... I thought it was bad. I just don't think it's fun. You know, it's pretty. I think the mechanics seem to work fine. I just don't think it's a very enjoyable game. And it goes back to me asking, you know, shows back, how many flashpots go off when you cross a finish line. And, you know, the game I want to play is SSX Tricky.
Yes.
For a new generation of consoles and PC, and not a game that tries to simulate skiing, because I think skiing is boring as shit. And I mean, if you're not like, if you're watching skiing, because that's what a video game skiing is you're just watching skiing happen. And I don't think that's very interesting. Yeah. I don't know. I'll be real curious to see what the numbers are like when this game comes out, because no one I personally know that played the beta came away from it thinking like, son of a bitch, this game's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, there was no pizzazz to it. I don't know of a better word. Like,
yeah.
I think for me, a game like this, I mean, there's also like, I don't know anyone who's like, this is the kind of game I want to play. If you were going to do something like this, I would much rather see something like, it's like an open world. Maybe I trot around on a snow ski to get to an area, and then I can, you know, hop on skis or hop on a snowboard and go down the mountain. But, you know, something more like that. If you're going for something that's sort of in a realism sense, just go all the way and make it like a open world where you can actually like travel around with your friends. And
you can kind of do that. Like, they just have like a teleportation system in there. Like, they're just kind of cutting out the middleman. I think it's permanent fast travel is turned on.
See, and I would just say turn it into like helicopters that come get you. Like,
yeah, there's some kind of gross, free to play aspect to this thing that I'm not, like, I don't have a solid understanding of it, but they have, I noticed when they're selling it, there are like if you buy the deluxe edition of the game, it comes with like, they call them 10 helicopter tokens. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like something that I'm going to think is super fucked up and gross.
I kind of wish I had helicopter tokens. I don't even know what they are, but I want some.
Yeah. It's like, wait, are you selling me quarters for your game?
Yeah,
that's what it sounds like to me.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, am I buying this game or not? Like, I am not clear on the release model for this game. I'm sure I could probably figure that out fairly quickly. But
this has all the makings to me of that game that we talk about in these news sections, and it comes out and we never ever talk about it again.
Yeah.
You know, that it just goes away.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know what the helicopter tokens are now.
All right.
In the early stages of the game, fast travel is your, you know, your starting point for any race or another challenge in the early stages of the game. This will be your main method of moving around. Later on, you get access to a helicopter that will drop you off anywhere on the map. So I guess, you know, the fast travel is taking you direct to events, and the helicopter is like, well, I just want to go to the top of this mountain, you know? Yeah.
And
you have to pay to ride the helicopter.
Like, when I was farting around in the demo, one of the things I did was teleport to the beginning of an event that was close to a spot that I wanted to go wingsuit off of. And then to get to the peak that I wanted to, I had to walk in the game for like 8 minutes. Like, this trudgingly slow... up the snowy mountainside, and then I got to the top and I jumped off and it was fun. But then when I wanted to respawn, it respawned me back at the event that I had started from. Mm. And if they're going to charge me to go to the top of that fucking mountain, fuck that game.
Right in the bottom.
Yes. So I don't know. Like, that may not be that way, but that's what it sounds like they're doing. So, I forget who the guy was here. Blake.
Now,
oh, sorry. Okay.
Well, I was going to say, one thing they do mention is that part of this is, like, if you're in a group of people, you know, one person buys the helicopter ride. It's not like everybody has to buy the ride type situation. Mm. So it's more maybe encourage you to.
So it's like together. Uber share.
Right. I mean, if you think about it, if you were going to do something like this and you were going to take a helicopter somewhere, it's going to cost you money to get in a helicopter and get them to drop you off on the side of this mountain.
Yeah, again, that's not the level of simulation I'm looking
right,
for.
Right. Right. I'm right there with you. And they do mention that, like, they are going to allow you to buy these tokens with real money, which is, you know, just, you know, this is just something they put in there to make money. But, like, yeah.
Basically, that equates for me, that equates to I'm paying you to rear-end my car in the game or something. Like, why would I give you money for something that's going to irritate me?
Can earn tickets in the game.
And I do appreciate, though, forever. That you being rear-ended is like, ugh, all right. That's just an irritation. Not...
It's a pain in the ass is what it is. Yeah. Like, it's not, like, nobody's going to die. Nobody's going to get hurt. Like, it's just, fuck.
Right.
It's like, there goes the next hour and 45 minutes of my life.
No, there goes, like, the next 3 days of your life because you got to get your fucking car towed, and then you got to get it to the shop. And, well, can you afford a rental car? If not, guess what? You're working from home tomorrow. Is that okay or not? Like, it's a pain in the ass. That's what a rear-end accident is. So...
I've been
rear-ended before. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's stupid.
I guess I'll just kill him next time.
Yeah, through no fault of my own, I have to deal with this shit now. Great.
When I went through it, it was totally my fault.
Nice going, dipshit.
You know what? As soon as it happened, my first thought was like, I just fucked up somebody's evening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a shitty feeling, too, because I've done that as well. Yeah. So.
I certainly did not intend to, that's why they call them accidents, but man, oh, I felt terrible.
So self-driving cars for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Get that shit going on. Cause then I can drink and drive, and that's what we all really want. So
it's what we all do. We're just living beneath the blue line on that one.
Off the radar, man. Moving on. Blake Jorgensen, EA's chief financial officer, said at the, and this must have been a real fun place to hang out, the NASDAQ 35th investor program, sounds like fun, that Battlefield will not be back for, quote, a couple of years. Next year we have Battlefront, the Star Wars game, he said, to make that distinction, I guess, between Battlefield and Battlefront.
But that's still kind of Battlefield.
It is.
It's Star Wars.
It is. Yeah.
There's a scheduled Battlefront game for 2017. I forget what quarter they've said that's in. I'm assuming holiday 2017.
I mean, I would imagine that they've got most of next year tied up with things they're doing for Battlefield 1.
Yes.
Expansion-wise.
Yeah.
And then the next year will probably be spent on the expansion of Battlefront 2.
Yes. So, and that's what they're saying is, like, 2018 is the next maybe possible time you will see a Battlefield game, which is fine for me, personally.
Yeah, this seems just kind of like, okay, whatever. Right. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Like, I like Battlefield 1, but it's not just, like, burning me up. Like, I'm not racing home to play that game or anything. Yeah. Like, it's like, you know, I'm going to play a little Battlefield tonight. That sounds like fun. It's not... I think just that series as well is starting to wear a little thin. Like, there's, even though it's World War One and there's a lot of new things going on in it, it's still Battlefield.
It is still Battlefield. It's maybe, it's weirdly paced, and I think they're gonna make some more passes over it. And I think it'll get more fun I think they'll balance everything out a little bit better.
Yeah. So that's news that's happening. One of my favorite games of the year, Inside, has a free demo that is available on Steam. And I believe GOG has it as well. Yes, which prompts the second part of the story, which is that they have removed the third-party DRM that Inside had in it, which was called Denuvo, which is kind of notorious for being some kind of bullshit-ass DRM that actually, like, people complain that I can't find, like, confirmed reports of this, but one of the complaints I've read numerous times is that it fucks with your processor and slows your computer down, and it's just kind of like a memory leak waiting to happen or something. Like, it's, people aren't saying it's like nefarious in any way, it's just that it doesn't work very well. But that shit is gone, which is I'm assuming so they could get it on GOG, because GOG has a no DRM policy, which is awesome.
Yeah, and also GOG gives you, like, if you have the game on Steam, do I have that wrong, that they'll provide the non DRM?
They used to do that. There's a, I think if you buy it on GOG, and it is like a, because you can buy games on GOG that do not come with Steam keys, but if it's one that does come with a Steam key, you can actually, like, have it both places. And one, previously it was a, the GOG version of this is guaranteed to be DRM free. If you load this up on Steam, maybe not. So
okay, all right.
For this game, it's like a moot point.
Way more sense than my dumb idea.
But yeah, Inside's a super cool game, and everybody should at least check out that demo for free, in my opinion. I love that game, so I like free stuff also.
Oh, 100%. That game is real good.
Yeah. Red Dead Redemption will be available on PlayStation Now next week, so the second week of December. Which means that you will be able, for the first time, you will be able to play Red Dead Redemption on a PC via the PlayStation Now program, which is just an emulation program. You will have to pay to do that. I believe it's $19.99 a month for PlayStation Now, or you can get a year for, I don't know what the year cost is. But
probably $100 for the year or something, give you a couple of free months in there.
Yep, you could theoretically play Red Dead Redemption on PC. Because it's being streamed like that, though, I can't imagine you're going to see any sort of performance graphics increase, anything like that. It probably actually looked worse because you're kind of streaming it from one of those compatibility systems. But at least you can play it there, finally. It's not what everybody wants. Everybody wants a proper port of that game, but they're not going to get it. So
yeah, if you can't play around with the graphics and try to throw in, like, what is it, ICE? Yeah. And that kind of thing.
That's the reason to have that game on PC is fucking mods. So, one of the upsides to the story is that the, what's the Halloween? Undead Nightmare is also available with that, which was their DLC that was pretty fucking sweet. The best part of this is if you owned this on Xbox, which I did, and you have an Xbox One, it is just backward compatible. You can just now plop that disc into your Xbox One and just play it. So that's kind of cool. So
I have done.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's pretty sweet.
And it actually does handle a little bit better on the Xbox One, because it's just, you know, you've got a little more horsepower there, and
yep,
runs great.
Throw some CPU cycles at that shit.
Yeah, it solves everything. I do. Any problem I got, CPU cycles.
Does that work for everything? Like a topical ointment? You could use it like that?
Mm-hmm. I had a real nasty case of athlete's foot that an i7 6770 cleaned up.
Putting tough Atkinson Acton out of business.
Uh-huh. I mean, those are pricey.
Yeah.
But, oh my goodness, it not only did it clear up that little medical emergency of mine, it is running my riff like nobody's business.
It's worth it.
Oh, yeah, every penny.
Justin, help me out with the Oculus story. I read through this thing, and my basic understanding of what they're talking about here is the overall room scale area of the Oculus will be smaller than the HTC.
Correct. The thing that I take away from this that I think is maybe the more frightening thing, I don't know, frightening is the right word, is that the way the base stations work for the Vive is that system is expandable, and that expandability is basically, you know, there isn't much of a limit on it, as far as I know, like not one that's feasible.
Can you whereas, just add more of the towers? What do they call them? The lighthouses?
The lighthouses, because those are dumb. All those need is power. They're just spitting lasers out, and the headset itself is what's doing the tracking and sending that back. Okay. So those are dumb. They're dummy. You know, those aren't connected to my computer. They just go down to a plug on the wall.
And adding more of them just makes you can just make the space bigger and like have more accurate tracking. What's the advantage to doing that?
Exactly. So
okay,
you know they in the thing here, it's basically you can do up to, I think it's, the two base stations can be 16 feet apart from each other.
Wow.
And I want to say, let me see.
So this article talked a lot about like diagonals, like picture a rectangle or a square in your play area, and the diagonal measurement is the limits that they're talking about now.
Right.
And with
right.
the Oculus, that limit will be 8 feet. So essentially you can make a 4x4 square. No, is it meters? It's meters.
Yeah.
So a 4x4 meter square is your limit for an Oculus room
that's
scale.
That's still pretty big.
Well, and that's kind of the point that this is a pretty decent article. What is this from? Upload?
Upload VR.
VR.com. The title of the article is Oculus Experimental Setups Feature Smaller Tracked Area Than HTC Vive. They've got a lot of nice diagrams and stuff on here explaining all this math. But they do make the point that, like, do you need more than this? And
right.
if you do, do people have more space than a 4x4 meter area to play this in?
So. You know, I think for me, it's just the fact that inherently it seems like the two systems for tracking are vastly different. And one of them does have the ability to expand just in its current form. You know, if you did want to just like buy a warehouse and fill it full of base stations and have a humongous, you know, space and figure out some way to, you know, have a cord.
I believe what you're describing is called a holodeck.
Right, right.
Right, right.
And there's a story I didn't send to you where they're in China, they're selling an add-on to the Vive that makes it wireless now.
Yeah, I heard about that.
$230.
Yeah. And it's got like an hour and a half battery time or something on it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, once you get to that, it's, I didn't even think about this till the other day. It was like, well, I have a basement and it's unfinished. And if I cleared it out, it would be pretty huge. And if I didn't have a cable and the reception on this thing is pretty good, I could just put the base stations in the basement and fire up VR and just take it, the headset down there. And leave, you know, my computer's upstairs. You know, it stays upstairs. And I just walk down there and that's where I play VR. You know, who knows what the range is on this wireless type of thing. But, you know, that does open it up to, well, maybe you have a garage and you're like, well, I'll just pull the car out.
I doubt it's going to be that good initially, but it'll get there eventually. Like, that'll be how that works eventually. It'll just be like, put on your fucking helmet and then go stand in your space and
or go stand in your backyard. You know, it just opens it up to.
Oh, I can't fucking wait for that. That's gonna be great.
But you know, it does open it up to
so many accidental deaths.
Just watch my neighbors walking around with their VR helmets on,
with a BB gun in your lap,
and while I masturbate.
Slowly, like really eyeing them, you know,
like awkward.
Yeah,
it's too slow. There's a great Saturday night. Is it? No, it's the Kids in the Hall. Did you ever see that skit where it's just like a break room, And one guy walks in and he starts like telling a story about his weekend, and the other guy that's standing there starts doing the like I'm air jerking off maneuver, but he starts doing it like way too slow.
It's the whitest and, kids you know.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, the slow jerk.
Fucking great. Don't look at me in the face, man. Don't yeah, make an eye contact. What are you doing? It's good shit.
That's a great skit. That's good stuff.
I love that show, man. That's some good stuff on there. Ubisoft's VR lineup will support cross-platform play, which means if you have a person who has an Oculus and a person who has a Vive, and they named a third one PSVR, you can all play the same game together, regardless of what headset you have.
Guess what? Ubisoft's putting out the Star Trek VR game.
Yeah.
No kidding.
And it's cross-platform.
Oh, yeah. Son.
Yeah, like, dude.
Doing it right.
So, you know, this is a thing where I think, you know, we give old Ubisoft
a hard time around here.
We do. You know, I think it comes from a place of love, you know.
Like I said,
I like Ubisoft games. Just some of their decisions are really weird.
Yeah, I keep telling you that last Assassin's Creed Syndicate game is legit. That game's real good.
Give me some Shadow of Mordor, man.
Yeah, sure. I want to see them do
Wait,
well.
That was EA.
I like
was it EA?
The,
no.
the games they put out.
Who the hell did that?
I would put money on the fact that Shadow of Mordor is EA.
All right, well, it's easy to get those two confused.
Sure. I mean, they're both hulking, tyrannical corporations.
Yes.
Intent on turning us all into batteries for their robot overlords.
Published by Warner Brothers.
Oof. Okay.
Interactive Entertainment.
Nobody
wins.
At least they're doing this right. You know,
absolutely. Like, and
at least they're not planting a flag and saying, well, all our games are going to be on this. They're going to, you know, I think VR is a platform and you don't develop for a headset. You develop for the platform.
Yeah. And also the user base is so small. Why would you not?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Why don't you get everybody that you can get?
Yeah. Every VR headset owner of any type should be buying your Ubisoft game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Just when you think Ubisoft's going over the ledge.
Pulling it back. Good job.
Do something smart.
Well done, Ubisoft.
Who likes free games? Anybody?
Oh.
Free games?
My favorite of all games. All
right. Well, we'll move on to the next
one. Not on PlayStation.
No.
Or Xbox.
Oh. I went to this story and my virus scan software just went threat has been detected on shacknews.com. Nice work, Shack News. Great website. PS PlayStation Plus games for the month of December. They're going to be giving away Invisible Ink, which I have not played, but I've heard is a great stealth game.
Yep, it's good.
Also, do you have that?
I do.
Yeah, I'm interested to try that out. It looks really cool.
It's fun. The level design and mission design's real good in that game. If you like, you know, XCOM-y kind of games, it's quite good.
XCOM-ies? I like XCOM-ies.
We call those capitalists around here, son.
Oh, you're an XCOM-ie?
Yeah. Former commie.
I'm going to start using that. Reformed commie?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, XCOM-ie. I think we got it right in one.
A born again capitalist. Like, go with the positive side. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a t-shirt that says that. I'm not going to be able to afford all these t-shirts.
I know. And somebody's got to make them, too. You got to make them, then buy them.
That's true. Also available is Tiny Troopers, which I know nothing about. That is the other free PS4 game.
Tiny Poopers?
Tiny Troopers.
Tiny Bubbles.
I also
it's
have
the Don Ho game.
If my browser would work here. Hold on. Uh-oh. Fuck you, Shack News. Did you break my fucking browser? Yeah, seriously, shit just crashed.
Damn you, Shack News.
No, I can't. Yeah, my browser is completely fucked. All right, hold on. Wow.
Why do you go to such terrible websites?
You gave out the URLs that you owned earlier, and one of them goes back directly to your house, and now someone has sent someone's in your pipes, scanning your ports. They're
all up in my pipes.
Don't scan my ports. Stay out of my ports. Free Xbox games, Xbox One games this month for the Games with Gold program. They are giving away a great game, Burnout Paradise, for free.
Mm. That's good.
Also, Sleeping Dogs, and in the last half of the month, they're adding a third game they'll be giving away for the last 2 weeks of the month of December, Outlast, which is like a horror.
Those are all three really solid titles.
Yeah, Outlast didn't hold my attention for very long, but it was interesting, and as a free game, I'm sure a lot of people will dig that. It had some cool mechanics going on in it. The run and hide mechanic was kind of not used a lot before that game. I think they did it pretty well.
I wonder if it's the Sleeping Dogs edition that has all the DLC and stuff, because that had like some crazy vampire story for their Halloween.
I don't see anything about it. Yeah, I don't know for sure.
Huh.
I'm sure they'd be more than happy to sell it to you.
Sure. Of course they would be. Yeah, that is a good lineup for Xbox, but boy, they kind of need it, right?
Yeah, like that's kind of been the standard complaint, is that the games they're giving away for free on Xbox are never good. They've had a few good ones, but it seems to me like PlayStation's had a better consistency to it of kind of the quality of the games they're giving away. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think both services, depending on the month you catch them, will appeal to you personally one more than the other. But
yeah,
they're
free games.
Right. You know? Yeah, I mean, if you're paying for the service already. Although, I got to tell you, more and more I'm starting to wonder if I need to hang on to that Xbox Live subscription.
Yeah, I haven't had one for years.
Yeah, I think maybe that's going to go away sooner rather than later. I don't play with anybody online anymore on Xbox, so.
Yeah. End of an era.
I know, man. I've had that, account for years,
I mean, I had one on the original Xbox, on the, the OG version.
Yeah, I'm kind of reluctant to cancel it only because I've been doing it so long,
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's like being married. It's like, none of us.
Like, I'm not actually sure that mine has expired. Like, there was a point a while ago where I had, three one-year subscription cards, which was the maximum amount of time you could preload on an account. And I did that. I think it's been, that was 3 years ago. It must have been at this point. So it's probably, I probably don't have a Xbox Live account anymore. I just haven't booted up my 360 in so long, I don't even know.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the only thing I play on the Xbox, and it might be affected, but I don't know that I play it enough that it would be a deal breaker, is Rock Band.
Get a real guitar, man.
Well, but I'm not going to be playing multiplayer. I guess I can still download the tracks. That's all I do,
That game's all about the drums, though, right?
Oh, well, sure.
Yeah, duh.
The GOG winter sale started today, I think, December 1st. And for the first 48 hours of the sale, which people listening to this, you will probably already have missed out on because we don't publish this right after we record it. I'm just telling you guys, Neverwinter Nights is free for the first 48 hours of the GOG winter sale. So, free game, another one.
And that's a hell of a game. Neverwinter Nights is...
Never played it.
Maybe my favorite role-playing game. Yep. I mean, I don't know. That's a tough call. It's up there.
It sounds like a track from Eddie and the Cruisers.
Neverwinter Nights it was the logical extension of Baldur's Gate, of course.
Yeah.
And it was just so big at the time.
Yeah.
And I still love that kind of game where you just spend forever in the character sheet. Like, well, if I, this battle axe takes up 3 slots, but if I put it here with the diamond, I can Tetris my way into more inventory, and that kind of stuff was real fun. And it's a good game. It's a good story. And, you know, if you were a Dungeons and Dragons kid, it was probably the first one that felt like, oh, I'm playing a Dungeons and Dragons game, you know?
Nice.
Yeah, it's cool.
The GOG winter sale runs until December 11th. They usually have really good deals on shit, so get you some of that. And then right after that is over, a couple weeks later, or 1.5 weeks later, on December 22nd, people are saying, and some people are saying we have confirmed, that the Steam winter sale will be starting on December 22nd and lasting until the 2nd of January. I'm running out of shit to buy on Steam.
Yeah.
I've got way too many games in my library. Like, they just did that autumn sale, that little short one, and I didn't buy anything. So I've got a lot of games I haven't played. A lot of the shit on my wish list is still too expensive for me to want to buy it. So, like, I've got, like, 50 things on my wish list now. It's just like, yeah, these are games I'm waiting for them to be super cheap, and then I'll pick them up. So
I think Civ 6 I would be on the lookout for. And
I've already, and I've got that already. So it's like, yeah, which I need to dip into more because that game's pretty goddamn cool, but I just haven't played very much of it.
Have you guys heard of a game called Planet Coaster?
See, that's the problem is these surprise awesome games keep coming out and fucking up my schedule here.
Yeah, that's, I would argue that's not a wish list game. That's a whenever the weight of needing to play that game becomes unbearable, just buy it.
What is the price on that one?
$44.99.
Yep.
It's doable.
Yeah, that right? It's, yeah. Boy, that game is $60 worth of game for sure. Felt like I was getting it on sale.
Steam Spy, the oft quoted on the show website that locks into kind of the back end of Steam, and they pull all kinds of interesting statistics out of it, like sales numbers and player counts and things like that. Put some really, where is this from? This is on VG247.com. They have an article called Around 40% of Games on Steam Were Released in 2016. There's a bunch of really interesting pie charts and shit here. So, 4,207 games were released on Steam so far in 2016. That is around 38% of all of the games available on Steam came out this year.
And that's not double last year's numbers.
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah.
Already.
From the article here, it says, to put these numbers in perspective, Steam saw the release of 2,964 games in 2015 and 1,772 games in 2014. These figures don't include the various bits of DLC or other items such as movies. So this is just like game proper numbers. So a lot. This is a bummer for me. Mostly, I think, because there are probably a lot of good games in that deluge of shit that I just won't be able to find because they're just going to get buried in that avalanche. And that's kind of a bummer. And it's like they have Steam Greenlight, which is the you get enough people to vote for your game that, yes, this is something I'd be interested in playing. And the number is really low. I forget what it is, but it's not like you could probably go on your Facebook and say, hey, can everybody help me out and go to this link and click yes, I would buy this. And then for like $100 or $150, you can put your game on Steam. So that leads to a lot of garbage being on Steam. And that's a problem because of what I just said. Like, there's probably some really, you know, interesting, cool $5 indie stuff that might be worth playing, and there's no way I'll ever find it. So I don't know how you solve that problem, because I like the idea that you can make a game and get it on Steam without a whole lot of effort, but unfortunately that means you're going to have a lot of chaff in there. So
yeah, there's not a good filter. And you know, they've done a lot to help you filter the game over.
Yeah, and
it's
just like the number is just so big that I don't think you can filter it.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
And there's a lot of crap out there. There's a whole lot. of just like really throwing together stuff. And I don't know, it would be interesting to find some other way to browse games.
I mean, the best way to find things on Steam is user reviews. And unfortunately, that means that people have to buy and play these games in order to get reviews. So
yeah, I almost wish every game had to have a demo, but that's not, I guess, too feasible.
Yeah.
And especially, I think demos actually solves the other problem, which is, you know, shovelware crap games that people are trying to make a quick buck on, because I don't think you take the time to create a demo. I guess maybe just carve a level out or whatever, but yeah,
and
it's
maybe
a bummer.
That's enough. Maybe that's enough of a deterrent, though.
It's worth a shot, and it would.
So I still have like a little bit of guilt because I feel like you're stifling. Like, yeah, this might be shovelware, but it might be that way because this is a first time developer, some guy working by himself on like a little, you know, maybe not the most skilled programmer, game designer out there, but at least he's trying. Like, if I'm penalizing that dude by making it more difficult for him to at least try something that he likes, I feel bad. So that's a weird area. There are certainly people who are just putting crap out there to try to make money, but I don't know. I don't know which side of that line you err on. Like, I guess.
I mean, I think you have to err on the side of freedom for as many games as there are and as difficult as it is to cull through. I mean, like you said, the alternative is creating some sort of selection process that's going to weed out legitimately, you know, if like, you know, the diamonds in the rough, the people that have a great idea or something to say. But
yeah.
The game
and they've tried a few, yeah.
Great.
And so that you got user reviews, and then they've tried adding the what is it called, curator system, where you know review outlets and just individual people can just curate games and make lists of yes, this game is good, this game is bad. But it's like we said, there's just so many goddamn games, like nobody's gonna do that.
Yeah, but all right, to play a bit of devil's advocate here, I have gone down a couple of searches on Steam. That have resulted in games that I've never ever heard of.
Yeah, actually,
but if
yeah,
you kind of know, like, I'm looking for something that's a platformer, that's an indie, whatever. Yeah. Like, you can drill down. It's just that, you know, the storefront's not going to show you something unexpected necessarily. But
I mean, short of just some solution that I just absolutely can't think of, I think they've kind of done all they can at this point with those numbers. Those systems work pretty good because there's like the user generated tags you can search. There's the curation system. There was some other way that you could filter down through that stuff too. I don't know. Anyway, that's a big number.
I do feel like the entire social system and aspect of Steam could use a you know 2016 revamp.
Yeah.
And maybe make the browser experience a little more in line with the UI you see in you know a little more developed like web application.
I'm wondering if you could incentivize it somehow without influencing opinions. I don't know. You give out like fucking trading cards or something if you review. Like I have, I don't know, 300 plus games in my library on Steam, and I've probably reviewed 8 of them. Like incentivize me to play and review all these games in my library, maybe somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean you get crazy and you know crank it up to where you've got these YouTube people and they're putting out their reviews through some sort of Steam social, you know, platform, and
I mean,
you know, they're getting money from people buying games through, you know, their reviews or something like that.
And that starts to get really muddy and complicated, and
yeah, that gets weird.
So, yeah, weird is the right word for that. Interesting. I don't know how to solve that problem, but it's fascinating. My last news story. Is Someone has created a mod for Fallout 4 that changes the way that the toilet paper hangs in the game, because in Fallout 4 vanilla, the roll faces out and the paper that you would pull down is closer to the wall.
Like a monster.
Yeah, it's just wrong.
There is one application where it is correct to do that, and it is if you own cats. And that is it. Because cats will just sit there and unroll toilet paper. And that's a pain in the ass. But I don't even know if like I can advocate hanging toilet paper that way in that situation. Like, it's like you chose a cat. This is your cross to bear. Like, put the toilet
paper
on, like,
need
a normal
person. A little post-it above it for anyone who doesn't know you have a cat. That's like, well, we have a cat.
We have a cat. That's why the toilet paper's fucked up. Like, we know.
We're not heathens. We understand. Here are our signatures. We have a cat.
Yeah. So, I think that's like, I have to assume that they put that in there intentionally like that just to be, like, kind of trolly about it. Yeah. But then the fact that somebody has created a mod that reverses all toilet paper.
But do you really think they were trying to troll people with that? Because that was,
like, maybe somebody just made that decision.
Yeah.
And,
I think whoever was doing the art design on that particular asset was just
know,
a monster.
That's like a universal norm, though, that is wrong. So I almost feel like it has to be a troll.
But
yeah, I feel
you
like
run
it's
into
be
those
some
people.
I don't know.
I mean, none of us here, and we've never had the discussion. I'm glad that we landed in a place that was we are all in agreement. But I have run into these madmen that want to flip the toilet roll around, and as you pointed out, are not cat owners. So I think maybe we just got, you know, a real miscreant on our hands here.
Like, logistically hanging it with the roll towards the wall and the paper out just makes sense to my brain. But what is the argument, other than it just seems wrong, what is the argument against having it the other way?
Because you're a civilized human being, I guess?
Because it's just fucked up. I don't know.
Like, because, I mean, to me, it's the same thing. Like, I don't like it, how it comes off the roll. I like the over-the-top roll, you know, because when you're doing your business, you know.
I guess the biggest point to me is there's no chance of the toilet paper touching anything when it's going over the top.
Right.
And it may rub against the wall. There could be, you know, germs, bacteria buildup, whatever.
Sepsis.
Like it's a cleanliness thing. Like, you hang it this way because it is the most efficient way to keep it from touching anything, because I'm going to wipe my ass with this. And I don't want to be rubbing wall germs on my ass.
It's not even that. It's just that things are designed, and it was designed to be used a certain way. And that certain way is facing out.
And if you're not doing it that way, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. You don't hold a knife by the blade. You hold it by the handle. It's just wrong.
Yeah.
Do you have any other analogies? Any other Uncle Justin witticisms?
No.
You have a coffee table book coming out?
You might be a dimwit if.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar, but I think it's different enough that we're not going to get in legal trouble.
Yeah, no, we got this. No, it's cleared.
Nice.
All right. Well, thank you as always, John, for your newsworthiness. And we actually have a handful of questions.
All right.
Some rapid fire stuff from power listener Joseph. So first one, Allfield, since I know you guys don't play this, he was asking about the new game modes in Overwatch. They added three versus three and 1v1 modes. I've not played 1v1. Have played 3v3 once. And I kind of liked it. It felt a little more wide open, and there was a little more, I don't know, variety in the encounters.
I like the idea of 1v1. They have that in Titanfall as well, in like a more of like an enclosed arena, and it's very like quick, where it's like first to three wins type of scenario.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's a cool idea.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, Overwatch just has so much game in it already. Tacking on new modes. I mean, once more, Blizzard doing it right.
Yeah, I mean, you could really pick the wrong person. You know, you could really get stacked against a character that is just going to decimate you. That seems like a pretty cool, be fun to watch at least.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And play.
He also asks us, how was the patch for No Man's Sky? I would just say go back and listen to, you know, first part of the show and really listen this time. Don't just, you know, background, like pay attention. He also says mod support for Fallout and Skyrim on the PS4 is not so bad. More of a comment than a question. And he also says the announcement of a Nintendo presence in Universal theme parks. Any thoughts on that?
Yes.
That's cool, I guess. Yeah.
Like, what do we get out of that? Other than like branded rides, I guess. Like, do you get
an area,
Mario,
maybe like Harry Mario Potter World,
Yeah, Mario World experience. Like, I'm sure that you can come up with something cool. You know, cool for that. But I don't know what it is. So
I mean,
it's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, I don't see any downside to it. But like, yeah, fuck. Why wouldn't Nintendo be, you know, into that?
Well, there's a Nintendo Land, right? In Japan, I think.
Probably.
That's one of those questions where my answer is there has to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, rapid fire here from Joseph. Any word of Star Citizen on consoles? Not that I've heard, and I'm not sure how you would do it.
I don't see that ever happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see that being a feasible thing unless consoles somehow just catch up. Either it takes forever for this game to come out, and it does come out, or consoles just completely change how they actually work in the next 5 years.
Yeah, if you did have a console version, I think it would be hamstrung by the limitations of the console. I think it'd be one of those things like when they would put out versions of games for the PS4 and the PS3, and the PS3 version would have scaled back feature sets or be like there's going to be multiplayer only or no multiplayer or whatever. And they'd have to do that, I think, with something with the scope of Star Citizen, which we didn't mention on the news, but I thought it was kind of cool that they laid out their timeline, their patch timeline.
Yeah, they're gonna.
That's live on the website too. Yeah, it's updated. I will say there's a lot of stuff going on. They had their anniversary weekend last week where it was just like the end of the first Kickstarter campaign. It's the anniversary of that. So they did these videos all week that were like the world tour, that show that's on right now, but it's like of the different ship manufacturers and with the very British announcer type guy going through all the ships. And they look amazing and showed off some new ships. And then the newest update, the 2.6, is actually in the hands of, there's like a, you know, paid testers. And they have a thing called the Evocati, which is like people who sign an NDA to test. And then it's in their hands right now. So in like a week or two, it should go to like the player test environment that we could still technically get into. And then hopefully, you know, a week or two after that, maybe a little bit later, it'll be out in the wild, and we can really get our hands on it.
It'll never be on consoles.
Yeah,
no, it's never, never, never.
It just won't happen.
Not in the way that it would be worth it, for sure.
Right.
And like your statement, Justin, about if consoles ever catch up, consoles will never catch up.
Right.
PCs are always going to be the high-end version. And the day that a closed system like a console comes out and has parity with PC, a week later, it will be over with.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's a closed system, so that will just never happen. So, I don't know. That's some version of it, maybe. There's, you know, 40, like we did a story a while ago, 43 million PlayStation 4s have been sold. Xbox was not too far behind that with Xbox Ones. Like, yeah, that's a huge market. If you could figure out a way to do that, of course you would. But
I'm bit so much of Star Citizen has been about, like, how do we push even a good PC?
Yeah.
Yeah, like you can't just play it on a PC. Like, you need a high-end gaming machine to experience that game.
Yeah, I mean, in the way that it is most impressive, certainly.
Yeah.
And so. Yeah, but yeah, sorry. I think that's probably going to be one that sticks to the PC, but
I would say it's one of those games that you might have to take some time to think about it, but if it's really up your alley and you're looking for a game, you're going to probably end up playing. I mean, I would wait for it to come out, but you know, if everything goes to plan, it's a game you're going to play for years and years, just based on the scope of the game.
Yeah.
Probably worth the investment, you know, or worth parting it out. You'll probably get a computer. You're getting into a lot more just by getting a computer.
Well, that's exactly how I got into PC gaming. There were games coming out that I couldn't play on console, and I can also use the PC to play almost every other game that's out there, with the exception of a few console exclusives. And then I, you know, went the PS4 route because there are things like The Last Guardian that I just have to fucking play. So,
and you know, you can go to something like PC Parts Picker, build yourself out a good machine. And one of my favorite things to do is just put all those parts that you want into not necessarily a Google alert, but like deal alerts. And then as you see that stuff go on sale and get reasonable, because you're going to have time before Star Citizen's out for realsies.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know, keep an eye out when you get a good deal on a case or a power supply. And then eventually you're going to have all your stuff. And yeah,
you could probably save $300-$400 doing that. Easy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And and have a good machine at the end of the day. So
I pieced my current system together over like a 4.5 month period. Like, I decided, yes, I'm buying this. And I could have done it over a slower period and gotten some better deals, but even like some minimal price drops. Like, I found like a $20 rebate on my case, and I'm like, all right, pulling the trigger on that thing. And then, you know, the motherboard was, you know, $35 off and came with a copy of a free game that I'll play that. So it's like, pull the trigger on that piece. My favorite thing to do at PCPartPicker.com is just kind of like a fun site to just go fuck around with and just build computers occasionally. And so I keep a parts list on there that is everything that is currently installed on my current system. And I have it just as a reference. Like, if I'm ever like, what is the fucking RAM that I got on that thing? I just go to PCPartPicker.com and I look it up on my build.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Same way.
Yeah. Yep. And then I have a copy of that is that exact same information, but then I throw like extra parts on there. Like, all right, well, let me put a water cooler in here and see what that looks like. And let me put a SLI video cards in here and see what that looks like. And let me put a crazy ass, you know, $2,000 monitor in here just so I can see what that setup looks like. And so I just use it as a, you know, like a planning tool. Like, yeah, maybe I'll upgrade to something like this someday or do this. Or if I find a new case that I think, oh yeah, I wonder if this would be a better case than what I currently have. And somewhere down the road, if I decide to, you know, I'm totally not getting a new case for a long time, but I just like playing around with those options on that website. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And if you've never built a computer before and you hear us, you know, casually tossing around like, oh yeah, just, you know, buy all the parts and put it together, it's not as hard as you might believe it to be. If you've never done it before, it's almost like building one of those snap type models or something, where if you get all the right parts, they only go together one way, really.
Yep. And yeah, that's the cool thing about PC Part Picker, is it warns you of compatibility problems.
Yeah, for sure. So
that's true.
Yep.
Putting a computer together is like a snap tight, but then there's like one part where there's like, I gotta put this stuff on a thing. Okay. The putting the thermal paste on.
Yeah, the processor.
That's like the most.
Yeah.
For someone who's never done that,
it's just kind of nerve wracking.
Yeah, it's just like, you just don't know how much to do. Yeah, you don't know if you did it right. There's just not really a good way to affirm that you've done that as well as you probably wanted to do it.
Well, but
you hear that post beep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, you know, I would always recommend, especially when you first fire up a newly built PC, then run some like MSI Afterburner or something, like keep an eye on your temperatures for the first few days and make sure that everything's staying nice and cool. But again, you're talking about free software, and after about a week goes by, you can kind of forget about it, you know?
And obviously, the internet is your best friend on this. YouTube is going to show you how to put all this stuff together.
Yep.
You can make this very easy.
I'll tell you what, now I'm kind of invested in this. So if you decide to do this, keep us posted and let us know.
And send us a message if you got any questions.
By all means. You know, we will
seriously
happily
like that's
help.
The best thing about building a PC is there are huge communities out there that will just fucking help you. So it's great.
Yep. And he concludes with he says he's going to have a recipe.
Is that nothing, a unit of measurement of pie? One resa?
Nothing could possibly go wrong. Possibly. That's the first thing that's ever gone wrong.
First thing that's ever gone wrong. I love that. Is that the fucking, that was the monorail episode, right?
No. That's Itchy and Scratchy Land. The Westworld ripoff where they all go insane.
They're flying in like Jurassic Park style though, aren't they?
Yes.
It's like a helicopter pilot. God, that's a good. I miss old Simpsons, man. I watched that show like a few episodes of it recently, like new episodes. It's not the same.
No, but the old ones are still there and they're still just as good. I caught the Hank Scorpio one the other day. And
such a classic.
Oh, that's like a top 5 episode of The Simpsons.
Homer, if you could kill a few people on your way out, that'd be great. Man. And when Marge has her drinking problem where she's drinking a glass of wine a day.
Because the house is automated?
Yeah, no, it was half a glass. I know the doctor said it should be a full glass, but I can't drink that much. That episode's so good. But Joseph concludes with, happy holidays, guys. Best to you, yours, and the Shod family. And likewise, of course. Thanks.
Right, yeah.
Thanks for being with us as we come to the end of the year. And actually, the next episode or episode after is going to be end of year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should do that after the holidays.
Okay.
Like
the first episode of 2017.
Yeah.
Which is still going to put it like we'll have one, maybe two more episodes. I'd have to look at the calendar, and then best of 2016. So.
Yeah, that'd give me just that much more time to play some shit.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Lord knows I could use it, and Planet Coaster ain't helping. I don't know if I told you guys about this game, Planet Coaster.
I've heard about it.
It's pretty great. As always, thanks to my co-hosts, Justin McFerrin and John Dolan. Thank you, gentlemen. And we will be back in 2 weeks to talk about more video games. In the meantime, if you would, hop over to iTunes, leave us a rating and review there. It's really the only way we get seen on iTunes. So if you would, we would appreciate it. Also, please tell anyone you know that is interested in video games. If you're enjoying the podcast, let them know that we're over here doing this. And what else? SDFgaming.com. That's where you can find links to the Facebook page and group and Twitter and the Twitch feeds. And I don't want to overpromise here, but I feel like there's going to be some Planet Coaster streaming. So
that needs to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm probably going to do a scenario at some point over the weekend of just a really boring video, unless you're a certain kind of weird. will be the nature of that thing. But yeah, check us out over there, over on Facebook, drop us a line, any questions you have. Hey, are you building a PC? We'll help you. And let me just get this out of the way. We are under no legal obligation if you screw it up.
That's all on you.
Yeah. Our advice is going to be golden.
The best advice I can give you is listening to us is a bad idea. So that's on you.
Well said.
That's on you.
Yeah. Well said. Once again, getting back to the fact that we are, if nothing else, a fact-based podcast.
That's right. Tell your friends.
Yes. So that's going to do it for this episode. We will see everybody again in 2 weeks. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
I don't want to go.